and hopes to sell off the ports in 4 to 6 months. Until then, DP World will presumably continue to run ports in such places as New York, Baltimore, Miami, and New Orleans. That's news on the Horn, the Head On Radio Network. I'm John Fox.
Now, Head On with Bob Kincaid. Head On is brought to you every night by the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. Union Carpenters and Millwrights, they're building the American dream. Free speech isn't free if you don't use it, so call Bob now at 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Now, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Hey, good evening. Welcome. This is Head On. I am Bob Kincaid. It's your nightly confrontation with the facts. It's Wednesday night. And we've got facts laying all over the place. And of course, as ever, well, you know the ground rules. You guys are as important or more so than just about anything else that I might be doing, because this is the conversation we're starting with America. And you're as big a part of it as I am. So, like the intro says, you know how to use get in touch with the show, 877, the number 4, Head On, 877-443-2366, and your calls are, of course, welcome. Now, a couple of things right off the bat. Of course, it is Wednesday night, and you know what that means.
On this every other Wednesday afternoon discussion club, we are going to have more to discuss on this every other Wednesday afternoon than we ever had on any other every other Wednesday afternoon.
Darn right. It's prayer meeting night at Head On. And just to get it started, while the other people are out there handling snakes and doing whatever it is they do on Wednesday nights, we're going to engage in a passionate pursuit of reason, rational thought, reality spoken here, you know? Sure. That being the case, let's start with Claude Allen. You remember Claude Allen? Claude Allen, who the faith-based chief domestic policy advisor for the Bush administration, that Claude Allen. Claude Allen, the guy who was... Now, what he would do is he'd go into Target and he'd buy stuff. He bought Bose home theater systems, for God's sakes. And he'd carry the stuff out to his car, then he'd take his Target bag and his receipt, go back in, go back to where the Bose home theater system was, put it in the bag, bring the receipt up to the counter, and get a refund for it. 25 times he did this. To the tune of over $5,000. Every one of these in Maryland is something on the order of a 15-year felony. This is the Bush administration's liaison, among other things, to the faith-based community. Because Claude Allen was, of course, after he got done working for Jesse Helms. Ow. He was the darling of the Bush administration because, A, he was African-American, and, B, he was a fundamentalist. Well, he's no longer a fundamentalist. In light of the scam that he was running with Target and Hex, I think you would have to say now that he's a refundamentalist. One of these days, I got to get a snare drum in here. Refundamentalist. Yeah, sure. So we've got that. And we've got a whole boatload of other stuff from Iraq. I mean, you heard the top of the hour newscast. Our good friend and compadre John Fox down under. Doesn't the news sound good? Can you imagine? Done in Australia, broadcast in West Virginia, and sent around the world. I'm pretty impressed by that. I like what we're doing here with our little fledgling network. We're doing things that other networks haven't even dared try yet. You know that? What we do with voice over internet telephony in putting John together with his partner in Fourth Estate Radio, Bruce, in North Carolina, and the two of them putting a show together in real time between Sydney, Australia, North Carolina, and again, sending it to the world every Saturday night at 10 p.m. Eastern. We do the same thing with internet telephony Sunday nights, and it sounds great. Now, if we can just keep the big telecom giants from taking it away from us, because, you know, they're inside the pockets of all kinds of congressmen. Not too long back, a Republican congressman introduced legislation that would allow the big telecoms to create a two-tiered sort of ghettoized internet and try to destroy voice-over internet telephony. That's important. That's the communications of the first part of the 21st century. Of course, you got to remember that back when Henry Ford was rolling the first Model T's off the line, there were buggy whip manufacturers who were screaming that they were being put out of business by that newfangled horseless carriage. I should know. They're one of the leading buggy manufacturers in the southeastern United States and on the eastern seaboard was right there in my hometown where I was born and raised. And the horseless carriage put them the heck out of business. And, of course, whether it's AT&T or Verizon or Bell South or SBC, or these people are all scared to death of the idea that the Internet is a free thing. It's the greatest manifestation of American freedom. You know, even if it's right wing, if it's the right wing garbage that you get from filthy places like Drudge and Freeperville, it's still free. The only thing is, those right wing sites gladly toady up to the congressmen who are taking the money from the big telecoms who want to shut it down. Yeah, you're right. Freedom isn't. You know, the right wingers are right in that regard. Freedom isn't free. It has to be jealously guarded, but you don't have to shoot anybody over it. You can just stand up for what you believe in, for the First Amendment. This is First Amendment stuff. It absolutely is. So, you know, just be on the lookout. And, of course, since this show does originate in West Virginia, I would be remiss if I didn't note that workers have gone back to work, as you heard in the newscast, at the Sago No. 1 Widowmaker near Tallmansville, West Virginia, in Upshur County. 208 profound safety violations, and the company does what, you know, maybe you're not used to this because you're not around, you know, you're not necessarily from West Virginia, but the company does what the company does all the time. Well, we didn't have nothing to do with them people dying. That's an act of God. He's a meaning, that God, ain't he? Yeah, every time something goes bad around a coal mine, there's a coal mine boss calling the coal mine lawyer somewhere in Charleston. Don't worry about it. It's an act of God. And now their little report comes out and says that a lightning bolt went all the way. Get this. This is better than JFK and the magic bullet. The lightning bolt went all the way through the mountain down into an isolated pocket of gas and caused the explosion at Sago. Yeah, I'm not kidding. That's a heck of a lightning bolt. I mean, I always heard that once it struck the ground, lightning dissipates here, there, and everywhere, you know, through the earth. It's grounded, right, electrical people? Huh? But this lightning bolt was a very special, magical lightning bolt, and it held together all the way through the earth down into that gas pocket. And it killed 12 miners and left a 13th profoundly brain damaged. But the important thing for the International Coal Group is that we ain't responsible. It weren't none of our never mind. You can't sue us. That's what they're worried about. They're worried about the money. They never worry about the people. They're worried about the money. But why would anybody be surprised with something like that out of someone like them? Really. I mean, It's sort of like what? It's sort of like the end of that wonderful movie with Jack Nicholson, Chinatown. Right? Forget about it, Jake. It's Chinatown. Yeah, that's me on the keyboard there. Let's see. But, no, you get the idea. And, of course, Senator Robert Byrd stopped the nomination of Richard Stickler. You know, there's a million puns with that one. Stickler. Oh, he's a stickler for the truth. Nah, not this guy. Richard Stickler was his nomination was blocked until Byrd can be satisfied that Stickler is a stickler for safety. Of course, he's not going to be satisfied about that because Richard Stickler is he's an industry tramp. He's an old coal executive. He stands up for the money, not for the people. Why would we, why would we be surprised? Yeah, well, you know how it goes. So we got all of that going. And a thousand and one other things, too. Lord knows, George Bush caught in a lie. And my God, this business in Iraq. 5 babies killed in a U.S. airstrike? That's kind of where we are now? Oh, God, it just hurts. So wherever you want it to go, you can take it. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
You're my baby. Pound of love and cook it in the stew. And when you finish doing that, I know what you want to do. 'Cause you're my baby.
Want to fight childhood asthma? Then fight it with a scrub brush and a hot soapy towel. Even in the neatest and tidiest homes, if there's so much as a crumb to eat or a drop to drink, household pests like bugs and mice will do all that they can to get it. Creepy crawlies like bugs and mice are unpleasant enough as it is, but they're more than just a nuisance for kids with asthma because they can actually trigger an asthma attack. So, give them a whole lot of nothing. Sweep up crumbs, wipe down tables, scrub dishes before they pile up in the sink, and store leftovers in plastic bags or bowls. Don't leave them so much as one tidbit or nibble, and you can stop a childhood asthma attack before it starts. Discover other simple ways to prevent an asthma attack. Call 1-866-NO-ATTACKS or visit noattacks.org because no child should feel like a fish out of water. A public service message brought to you by the U.S. EPA, the Ad Council, and this station.
Treat me with understanding.
Treat me with respect.
Drug and alcohol addiction is an equal opportunity disease.
Treat me without judgment.
Individuals in recovery come from all walks of life and deserve to be treated with respect for winning one of the hardest battles there is.
Treat me with courtesy.
Treat me with humanity.
Alcohol and drug addiction deserves proper treatment. For drug and alcohol information and treatment referral, call 1-800-662-HELP.
Dad, can I ask you something?
Sure.
There's this girl I kind of like.
Say no more.
You just have to impress her. Okay, but how?
Just, I don't know, pick up a lot of heavy things around her.
Like what?
Desks, chairs, people. Grunt if you have to.
Grunt?
Yeah, be like, There you go.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. When you adopt a child from foster care, just being there makes all the difference. To learn more, call 1-888-200-4005. A public service announcement brought to you by Adopt U.S. Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Hi, I'm Joanne Woodward. Ever notice how many things in life happen in a circle? The seasons, revolving credit, hula hoops, the spinning of the circle we call Earth, and recycling. Together, we've already made a difference. Sorting glass, plastic, separating cans, stacking newspapers. Now there are lots of products made from things we've already recycled. a paperclip in a more daring life, a 56 convertible, a cereal box, once your Sunday paper. It all goes back to the circle. It starts when we recycle trash at home and at work. It's completed when we buy products made from recycled materials. How do you know the difference? Check the label for something called post-consumer recycled content. Then buy the highest percentage of it you can find. You'll save a tree, you'll save energy, and in your own way, you'll help save the world. Complete the circle.
For your free Buy Recycled shopping guide, call 1-800-2-RECYCLE. A message from the Ad Council and Environmental Defense. Finding the ways that work.
Because liberals built America. Head on with Bob Kincaid.
Welcome back. 21 minutes and change after the hour as we get rolling on this Wednesday night prayer meeting edition of Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid. And like I said, your phone calls are welcome. 877, the number 4, Head On, 877-443-2366. And email, of course, I should mention, bob@headonradio.com. I answer them with as much alacrity as I can possibly muster. Let's start off with our buddy in the United Kingdom. Andy is with us, calling from Wales. Hey, Andy, you're Head On.
Hey, Bob, how's it going?
Going well. Yourself?
Yeah, not too bad. Prayer meeting night. Does that mean I'm Brother Andy?
Yeah, you are Brother Andy.
Hey, I always wanted to be a preacher. Oh, no, I had to call in about something before I'd forget before Friday, and we can't have that. Basically, the BBC, that guy was talking about they're being sold. Yeah, but no.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, the people are talking about it. It's not going to happen. They've just received a new license for 10 years, so it's not going to happen before then.
Yeah, I saw the story about the new license, Andy. And some of that was a little bit disturbing, this idea of, I mean, did you see the mission statement or whatever it was, that the BBC must be more entertaining?
Yeah.
Does that mean you get more Survivor, more reality TV? You guys invented it. We didn't.
Yeah, well, I mean, the BBC's been told not to go for reality TV, I think, on the basis that it is really just too cheap, you know what I mean? But yeah, they do have to do more entertainment value. But they've also got to be more informative and more educational, so that's good. We should get more documentaries and more interesting stuff. But on that note, here's a website for everybody to take a note of, and you should too.
Okay.
www.bbc.co.uk/TV/D. Okay? Mm-hmm. Now, that'll bring you up with a page, and down the bottom, there's BBC One, BBC Two, BBC Three, and BBC Four. If you click on the BBC Two button, a little list next to it will change. And then there'll be Newsnight, and you can watch the video of tonight's show. Now, it's only up there for 24 hours.
So oh, okay.
You can watch it. For the last 15 minutes, they did an expose about the war in Iraq funding.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you remember the guys talking about throwing million-dollar bundles around?
Right.
Yeah, well, it was about all that, and a company set up by two Army Rangers.
Yeah, Custer Battles.
That's the one. Now, this is just absolutely classic Newsnight reporting. I mean, it's, you know, they've torn it right open. They've got, you know, all the necessary people talking about it. It's just perfectly put together. I mean, I don't want to, you know, waste time talking about it now, but everybody should go to that. It's totally free. You just watch it.
Well, you know, it was one of those things that didn't really make a whole lot of a splash in the news, and I should have covered it, and I'm kind of ashamed of myself that I didn't.
Well,
but Custer Battles just got rung up in a civil lawsuit. It was the first...
Yeah, they've got to pay like $10 million or something.
Yeah, it was the first civil justice verdict against a war profiteer in this country.
Well, I mean, this Newsnight report just opens it right up for everyone. It, you know, not just them. I mean, it does kind of focus on Custer Battles, but it kind of brings it all, you know, Kellogg Brown and Root Halliburton, like, you know, into it and stuff. So it's definitely worth checking out for everyone, definitely. And yeah, the other thing about the lightning thing.
Yeah.
I don't know about mines, right, but if you were to put a copper wire running from the top of the hill down mm-hmm. to the bottom of the hill and put your foot on it, mm-hmm. okay, and the lightning hit the top of the hill, you'd get zapped, okay?
Right.
You've got a better path further to the center of the earth, okay? It'll follow it.
Mm-hmm.
So if there was some sort of, you know, conducting cable running all the way down the mine that didn't have a surge protect, I'm guessing it could happen.
But that's the thing. They're saying that where this blew up, Andy, was an old shut down part of a mine that was all sealed off and concreted up, and nobody went there and no access to it, and it just magically.
Let's be as fair as we can to them and say they put like what 9 feet of concrete in the hole, and you know that's what's, you know, there's a hole underneath 9 feet of concrete and some rubbish on the top. Well, if the lightning hit directly above that, it's plenty powerful enough to jump through 9 feet of concrete. And if they left all the wires in.
Yeah, well, that's being charitable. That's it being extremely charitable.
That's being very charitable.
Because, I mean, what we're talking about is this part of the mine is all closed down deep inside the Sago mine itself. I mean, it's the closed off part's hundreds of feet below the mountain. That's what's blowing my mind. Well, but I mean, it's not blowing my mind. Who am I kidding, Andy? We're used to it here.
Yeah.
What they, you know, it's never, never the coal company's fault. When Pittston Coal's, sludge dam, whatever you want to call it, broke loose and gave way in, what, 1972 and killed 128 people in what's called the Buffalo Creek mine disaster, the first thing Pittston Coal did was come out and say, that was the rain's fault. It's God's fault.
Oh, yeah.
If we ever find this God guy, he's in trouble.
Yeah, right. Yeah, typical. It's never their fault. It's the same thing over here. I mean, there was a company not about 8 years ago dumped about, I don't know, it was about 5 or 10 tons of, like, mercury-based sort of solution into a river and, you know, killed absolutely everything. They're now obviously, like, downstream for, like, 20 miles or something.
I wonder why them fish are dying. Yeah, that's what we
did. Yeah, they were trying to say it was because the council hadn't prepared the land beforehand properly enough, and that was why the pipes that were stood on something gave way, and that's why it got dumped. And then, of course, somebody inside the company came out and went, no, they just opened the pipe and just dumped it. And they got charged £20,000. For a clean-up fee.
Yeah, well, you know, these guys, like we've noted in the past, coal companies here in West Virginia ordinarily get fined less and never pay them to begin with. Mm-hmm. They get fined less than CBS got fined for Janet Jackson's breast.
Yeah.
There's another example of it today. The little right-wing purity people are hopping up and down and thrilled to death that some CBS television show that I certainly have never watched got fined $3 million because they showed, and this is what the news release said, a teenage sex orgy. And the concerned women for America are thrilled. $3 million. And the thing is, International Coal Group won't get fined a tenth of that.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's all just ridiculous. Priorities over there are insane. I mean, even if we just stuck to the TV thing, how is it, like, violence, just extremely gratuitous, horrible violence is allowed and sex isn't? I mean, you know, okay, we don't want teenage pregnancies, but you don't avoid teenage pregnancies by not talking about it. Teenagers get pregnant when they don't know what's going on.
Well, yeah, and teenagers get pregnant when teenagers have sex, and teenagers have sex because they get told a bunch of, they get told that, well, don't do it.
Well, yeah.
You know, there's big difference between don't do it and do it the right way.
Well, yeah, I mean, my girlfriend works with a group that hand out condoms and stuff to young teenagers hanging around in the streets and stuff. And they were getting loads of hassle from sort of Catholic groups and things over here saying, you know, oh, what are you doing giving these condoms to kids?
Yeah, that's the whole Monty. That's the whole Monty Python "every sperm is sacred" approach to things.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, the people try to point out that the kids are going to have sex anyway because what are they? Humans.
Well, yeah, and I mean, it's like power tools in a way, Andy. I mean, you know, if a teenager is given a skill saw, he's likely to lop off a finger if he isn't taught how to use the saw.
Absolutely.
You don't teach him what.
Teaching children about sex and things from, you know, 10 upwards and teaching them, well, you know, don't do it before you meet somebody you really love. And if you're going to do it safely.
Exactly. You know, but we live in a bizarre, bizarre place, Andy. I mean, we've got groups of people, for instance, the National Rifle Association comes to mind. And they're very active in the idea of you have to teach children at an early age how to safely handle a firearm.
But the
membership of this group is comprised largely of people who at the same time want to teach children to safely handle firearms, don't want to teach children how to safely have sex. And in either instance,
use drugs or safely do anything else.
Right. And in either instance, the first time you screw up can be your last.
Absolutely.
This is just become a bizarre little place, Andy.
Well, it goes down to the kind of Christian thing, possibly. We don't have a very holistic attitude to things. We have a very linear kind of segmented attitude, and that kind of lends itself to this kind of, oh, sex is different from violence, is different from drugs, is different. It's not. It's all the same thing. It's the human condition.
Right.
And we need to accept that and kind of grow up a bit as a species, possibly, you know?
I'm 100% with you, Andy. Now, but here's the tough question.
Mm-hmm.
How do you, and I've had this conversation with a lot of people, how do you explain something that is so simple to you and so simple to me? How do you get that across to people who believe that human beings are mortal because a cave woman named Eve had a conversation with a chatty water moccasin?
Well, there's just a whole group of people that need to be thinned from the herd, aren't there, Bob?
Skill saws and guns. Andy, thanks so much, brother.
Take care, man. I'll speak to you soon.
Bye now.
Back onto Agnes.
All right, sure.
Cool. Cheers, man.
All right. That's Brother Andy from Wales here in Brother Bob's Cathedral of Common Sense, the Wednesday night prayer meeting edition thereof. Let's see. Let's go ahead and take our bottom of the hour break. I got to check the email, see what you guys are up to. Bob@headonradio.com is that email address. Ship it on in if you've got it. We'll be right back. This is Head On.
Head On.
Free show and other talk shows to the Gulf to change American public opinion, which has helped block Dubai's takeover of 6 U.S. ports. He's saying that they want to reach out to the average guy in the United States and explain why the UAE is important. If you want to reach out to the average guy in the United States, they need to send something, not Oprah. I mean, how many average guys do you know watch Oprah? I don't. If they want to reach out to the average guy in the United States, as much as I hate to say it, they need to send Jerry Springer and the Jerry Springer Show over there with the bald guy. You know, maybe they can do a UAE version of My Grandmother Is Also My Lover or something like that. Oh, that's just a...
Join me, Bruce Birch, for All Things Reconsidered every Sunday evening, 7 p.m. Pacific, 10 p.m. Eastern, allthingsreconsidered.org.
Hey, listen, tell me something, John. Do you guys eat a lot of mangoes down there?
Not enough to base a foreign policy on.
Well, I'm going to tell you something. We don't eat that many of them here either.
The United States is India's largest trading partner, and India is one of the United States' fastest growing export markets. And oh, by the way, Mr. Prime Minister, the United States is looking forward to eating Indian mangoes.
That's right. It's March Mango Madness. Nukes for mangoes, mangoes for nukes. Join Bruce and I, John Fox, this weekend, Saturday night, 10 p.m. Eastern Time on the Head On Radio Network. Catch us at fourthestateradio.com or headonradionetwork.com.
I found a reason, I don't need an excuse. I've got this time on my hands.
She's black, flesh and bone, no touch of silicone. She's touch, smell, sight, taste, and sound.
He's a man who just loves conservatives, baked, broiled, or fried. Here's Bob Kincaid.
I think we left out frappé. I am Bob. This is Head On, your nightly confrontation with facts. Let's go right back to the phone. Luke's been waiting. Agnes, could we go right back to the phones, please, dear? Hey, Luke, you're Head On.
Hi, Bob.
How you doing?
Well, just sitting around listening to my blood pressure climb. I listen to all this stuff. It's one of these things. I've got to the point now, like I say, my favorite setting on my TV is mute.
Yeah.
It's got to the point I even just sit here with it muted looking at things like...
Yeah, well, you know, you get to the point where Chris Matthews, the very sight of the little cretin, It does. It wrecks your blood pressure and gets you all red in the face. The next thing you know, you have to stare at the fish tank for 5 minutes to just get calmed down again.
Go in there and open the refrigerator. Just look at the light. Just look at the light. You know how it is. Yeah. Don't think anything harder. Just look at the light. They had the question tonight, the 7 o'clock question on the Situation Room, you know, Cafferty's question.
Yeah.
Was, are the Dems in hiding? It's like, no, they're in the Witness Protection Program, apparently. You know, we're going to change your names and hide you out in the country, apparently with the Amish.
You know, yeah, you'll be careful among those English.
I know. It's sort of like, I'd give 2 cents to find somebody with a spine not made of silly putty, you know.
Oh, I know, and I'm still just steamed from the thing with Harry Reid. I haven't really read his Senator Feingold's resolution. You know, how stupid do they take me for?
Well, the thing, if you want a good read, I found this through Buzzflash, but it's Progressive. This month's Molly Ivan column called Enough of the D.C. Dems.
Oh, I saw that.
That was good. I liked it. I mean, you know, guys, pick 2-3 issues. That's it.
Yeah.
If you want to put up papers on the rest of them, that's fine. But we're going to talk about 3 issues. And don't talk about anything else. Somebody says, yeah, check, you know, say, look at our position paper. And, you know, otherwise, we're going to talk about 1, 2, 3. And that's it.
Well, yeah, and I mean, this business about Dubai ports, world, we'll sell off our interest in the American ports in 4 or 6 months or so.
Sure.
But until then, we're going to...
You know what it is? It'll be the merry-go-round. Okay, we're selling to this company. Four or five companies later, it's coming right back to the Dubai port world.
Well, is it just me, or do I remember a time when... Now, bear in mind, Luke, this was working people, so it's okay to haul out the military and the strike breakers on working people. But I seem to remember a time when presidents have threatened to nationalize entire industries in the United States should a strike go on. Didn't Harry Truman do something like that?
Oh, yeah.
So, call me crazy, but, well...
We're all crazy, but you know how that goes.
And we're assuming spines made of something besides silly putty, as you noted. Why couldn't, for temporary purposes, we nationalize the operation of the ports and say to Dubai Ports World, guys, you know, we, you know, okay, that's fine. If you want to sell in 6 months, that's great. But tell you what, we, you know, the United States, we'll run the ports until you find a buyer.
That's one of the things they could have done after 9/11. That would have made sense.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That would have made some sense. The same thing with the airlines. The thing most people don't realize, some do, and it's not like they went down the memory hole. Don't remember that back in the mid-90s, they had the Gore Commission.
Yeah.
Where he suggested, or where it came through all this thing, and they came up with, he was the head of it, but they came up with about a dozen suggestions that would have meant things like reinforcing doors in cockpits and upgrades on security. And they figured, well, you know, if you put all this in, it's going to cost the airline industry, maybe a little over $1 billion. So they sent their lobbyists out to kill it.
Well, sure, and you know, we really couldn't have a national debate about that, Luke, if for no other reason than the so-called liberal media was busy talking about whether or not Al Gore invented the Internet, or talking about whether Al Gore said he was the basis for Love Story, and all those filthy lies that came right out of right-wing think tanks that just mesmerized the American media. He really said that? Well, I mean, some Republicans telling me he did. It must be true if a Republican's saying it, because they're friends of Jesus.
Well, you know, it's the thing gets me, and the thing is, we can't say this is something recent, though. I mean, I still go back to what would have been about 86, is why in the world, over Iran-Contra, they did not impeach George W. H. and Ronnie Reagan.
I got something for you right here, I think, that might speak to that. My lovely wife, Agnes, found this quote from Ronald Reagan today. This was, do you remember how he explained... what he did with regard to not, or whether he lied or didn't lie to the American people about buying arms for hostages. You remember that?
Yeah, was it?
Well, I got it right here.
Go ahead.
My heart and my best intentions still tell me that's true, but the facts and the evidence tell me it is not.
It's like, I lied to you, but of course I didn't mean to lie to you.
Well, you know,
even though they were telling me the whole time I was lying to you.
Yeah, but Luke, you know, I talk about how the word I hate in the English language more than any other word, and everybody knows it now, is the word believe. Because believe is the complete betrayal of reason and of the mind and of everything that the Enlightenment sought to bring us. And that's what he said. I lied to you, but what's important is at the time I didn't believe I was lying.
It's the one thing you got to say about them. They can make themselves believe, excuse the term, anything they want to, and then say, well, of course I did at the time.
Well, that's like Jerry Falwell in the pulpit on Sunday saying, my friends, I don't believe in global warming. You know, this ain't Tinkerbell. This isn't, you know, if you believe hard enough, it'll be real or not be real. This is hardcore science. And they're saying now that we got, 10 years before it becomes irreversible? This is 2 straight years. The South Polar ice cap has not
been refreezing.
Yeah.
Well, the one that gets to me right now is I'm surprised they aren't making more. What the hell has happened to Pat Robertson? Has the man totally left the trolley now? I mean, the trolley totally left the track.
Pat Robertson has left the building.
I mean,
he's ready for the rubber room and the purple crayon.
I was going to say we need to get them some stock in some nice mental health facilities. You know.
Well, I got one word for Pat Robertson: Thorazine. It'll make God stop talking to you.
Or at least some lithium.
Yeah. You know, I want him heavily Thorazined. I want him drooling in a corner somewhere. You know,
drooling for a cocktail, 4 or 5 different medications of our favorite choosing, please.
Yeah, right. I mean, our entire government is being run and destroyed by people who think that extraterrestrial beings are talking to them. You know, Ross Perot tried that a few years back, and he's crazy. You know, and 12 years later, we got a guy president of the United States that's being talked to by people that aren't there.
Apparently he lives, one of my friends at work always says, when somebody says something like, he says, what color is the sky in your world? You know, I'm really curious about that.
Yeah.
Because I tell you what, you get this feeling like he's talking to somebody over the corner that no one else can see.
Well,
I mean, you're gonna feel like if you go to a meeting with him, you better make sure who all he's talking to in the room, because it ain't just you.
Well, you know, a guy I love to read on the internet, is a fella called the Rude Pundit.
Okay.
I don't know if you've ever run across
him. Yeah, I've heard of it.
RudePundit.blogspot.com. And the Rude Pundit uses a lot of words that we can't really use on this program. But
beep.
Yeah, exactly. But he says that George Bush and that whole crowd, and for me it's Rummy, are all like the crazy old drunk dude down at the end of the bar that just sits there and mumbles into his beer. You know, and that's what you get with Rummy. I don't really know what a civil war would look like.
They used to say it's the old crazy aunt you keep locked in the attic. You know how it is.
I know exactly what you're talking about. Hey, Luke, good to talk to you tonight, man.
Bye, Bob.
Take care now.
Bye.
Bye. And rolling on, a new friend from San Diego, Keith, is with us. Hey, Keith, you're head on.
Hey, how are you, Bob?
Doing good. Yourself, sir?
I'm sitting here amazed. I never knew anybody with those type of accents could be liberal. I thought everybody that had that kind of accents believed in good old George Bush.
Yeah, no, there's a few of us left that they haven't sent to Guantanamo yet, Keith.
Well, I thank you for your kind note this morning. It's nice getting support from halfway across the country.
Well, I was really excited. I forget who it was. I think it was either our buddy Gene or our buddy Victor who sent me the article, your article that you wrote in the paper out there in San Diego.
Yeah.
And I had touched on the story that you began with, that poor woman who lost her job for having an Air America bumper sticker on her car.
they said they thought she might be, says, you might be Al Qaeda for all we know.
You know, and maybe
the kind of thinking that goes on in the corporate America, we're in deep trouble.
Well, right, and see, that's the problem we've got here. You know, with these people who are titularly in charge, Keith, they don't know what a terrorist looks like. And I'm not talking about racial profiling, but I'm thinking that a woman in Southern California handing off a file folder, no, not a terrorist. Pretty easy.
No, she isn't a terrorist. Listen, the station that this 1360 has now offered her a job. Which may not work to her benefit, because she's suing the pants off of the people that fired her. And if she's gainfully employed, the jury may not give her the multi-billion dollars or whatever she's suing for. But
you're right.
But anyway, it's just the kind of story that is bringing this whole thing to a head and to just pointing out the absurdity of it and the fact that we're so so diametrically opposed to one another. My God, nobody. I have a friend who makes friends and gets rid of friends, longtime friends, because of their politics. And as I mentioned back when, you know, when I first got involved talk radio, that didn't happen. You know, you'd leave the politics behind and pretty soon forget what politics they had. But now the lines are drawn so sharply that, well, you know, as I wrote in the article, our former mayor out here, Roger Hitchcock, who subs for Rush Limbaugh.
Oh, Lord, I've heard him.
Yeah, you know, he actually said about Cindy Sheehan that she hated America because she long hated America because she's long been a left-wing activist. And that defines us. That defines us in those.
For God's sakes, before Casey was killed, Keith, she was a church secretary or something.
Yeah.
But that, you know, that's okay. I mean, where Cindy Sheehan's concerned, we got this cretin named Glenn Beck. I guess he operates out of Philly or some such for Clear Channel or one of these creepy little right-wing networks. And, you know, he on the air called Cindy Sheehan a prostitute.
Yeah. Oh, the things they call her just beneath description there. It's terrible, this is a pattern, though. I mean, who could have given more for his country than Max Cleland or John McCain? And as soon as their politics clashed with that of the Republican establishment, that wing of the Republican establishment, they became disloyal. And John Kerry got two medals for heroism and three for being wounded, and immediately he was discredited without even regarding the fact that his opponent hadn't even got near the battle on it by his own request. So
right.
you gotta march lockstep to these people or you are unpatriotic.
Well, see, and that's the point. You made a statement a couple of minutes ago, Keith, and I think it was very trenchant. You said the lines have been so sharply drawn. The one thing that I keep trying to note to people is that we didn't draw the lines, Keith.
That's right.
The lines were drawn by the people in the snake handling churches and in the political think tanks and in talk, you know, Hannity, Glenn Beck. Glenn Beck was one of the ones who, through the good offices of Clear Channel, helped foment the Dixie Chicks CD bashing and all of that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
They're the ones who drew those lines. They're the ones who said that I'm unpatriotic because I dare question authority.
Yeah. Well, I'm retired from the Navy. I'm an old geezer. And I wrote a column for Navy Times for more than 10 years. And I was sort of their token liberal. Actually, the paper wasn't so liberal, but that was so conservative. But the readership, being mostly Navy people, and a lot of the officers were, very much lockstep conservatives. But I would criticize the president. And I got all these letters about how, you know, you're a retired officer, you can't do that. Well, damn it, they did it to Clinton for 8 years.
Yeah.
And now criticism is not being disloyal.
And it's certainly not sedition.
Absolutely not. And, you know, I think the best, most respect we can give the First Amendment is to use it.
Well, yeah, absolutely. You mentioned your military past. A lot of conscience is rising to the top out of retired military. I read a story just today, Keith. It was from Truth Out, and I wasn't able to get enough. I'd love to talk to the gentleman. He's a law professor and a lawyer and a former, I believe, Navy chopper pilot.
Uh huh.
He mailed his boards and his wings.
Oh, I read that. Yeah, that's making the rounds, isn't it? That's a good one.
Well, I think we're going to see more of that because the traditional role of the military has been utterly subverted by these people in Washington.
Well, and that's scary, too. We keep saying it can't happen here, it can't happen here. But we have a military so obedient to the president. And right now, this didn't come through just natural processes. Bush fired the officers who said what he didn't want to hear.
You're darn right. John Shalikashvili got sent packing.
Yeah, and now we got officers running the thing, who simply parrot the policy line. I mean, it's almost sickening. So So, and this is a military. It's big and strong. And I just think we're courting with danger here.
We absolutely are, Keith. I was corresponding with someone the other day, and I remarked that I guess they quit. I guess they used to teach military history at the United States Military Academy in Annapolis,
yep,
and Colorado Springs. I guess they've foregone that for teaching political science, because and the reason I was saying that, I had just read an article, an op-ed piece from I believe the Boston Globe, by Gary Hart.
Yeah.
And Gary Hart drew a very stirring, stunning parallel with Napoleon Bonaparte's destruction of the greatest military power of its time. In the form of the French army, and he got it destroyed in Moscow.
Yeah.
And the thing is, I mean, the midshipmen and the cadets used to learn this kind of stuff, didn't they?
I have quite a few friends that are Annapolis graduates, and yes, they did. And it's scary. Hey, listen, you've got other things to do, and I got to go to my meeting. Actually, we're having a meeting at that newspaper that I write for.
Wonderful.
The online paper.
Yeah. And by the way, can you throw us a web address real quick so people can go and have a look at it, Keith?
Yes, it's Voice of San Diego, spelled out just that way. voiceofsandiego.org.
Okay, well, I'm...
And look for the byline under Keith Taylor. It's on the front page now, and it'll creep down the list as days go on.
Okay,
but we'd
wonderful.
Love to have some hits on there from there, and I'd love to see a letter from the editor, letter to the editor from someone out there. Where are you in West Virginia?
We're about 50 miles east of Charleston, which is the state capital.
I know that.
We're in the mountainous region. It's... Well, we're famous now for our whitewater rafting and our rock climbing and our cycling, and as long as we can keep them from blowing up our mountains, we'll stay that way, I hope.
Well, good luck to it. I like your state, and I like doing all those things, although I don't climb up a mountain as fast as I used to.
Yeah, but you're still climbing them, and that's what matters. Keith, such a pleasure making your acquaintance. I hope we'll hear from you again. If you don't mind, tell your friends about the show, and... We've got a growing listenership out there on the West Coast, and it just tickles us to death.
Well, I'll be glad to do that.
All right, thanks, Keith.
Okay, we'll see.
Bye
you,
now.
Bob.
Keith Taylor, author of an article in the Voice of San Diego regarding what's happened, and it's what's happened in talk radio and how it's happened and what it does to people. This woman. In Southern California, literally fired from her job by her boss, who said, "You might be Al-Qaeda, for all I know," because she had an Air America bumper sticker on her car. And it didn't say George Bush is a pig, listen to AM 1360 or anything, for God's sakes. No, it just said AM 1360, Air America Radio, San Diego, something like that. You know, just sort of Joe Friday, just the facts. And the woman was fired from her job. And Keith's article at voiceofsandiego.org is an excellent overview of what he's seen in that region, and you know, it's a microcosm for what's happened all over the place. There have been liberal talkers here and there, and inevitably, sooner or later, they will be disappeared from the radio. The same, you know, it happened to me in Beckley. I got disappeared because there were Republicans pulling people aside and going, you got to get him off the air. He's killing us. But because what you see is right wingers, and you got to remember this. This is so important in the progress of liberal or progressive talk, whatever you want to call it. You know, we call it here conversation radio. You have got to remember that the people who are brave enough to support progressive talk, the people who are brave enough to advertise with progressive talk, we owe our patronage to. Boy, I sort of hung that preposition out there, didn't I? Seriously, they've got to have our support. We're supported here by the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. And we are ever so grateful for that support. Now, I don't guess you can go and buy anything from a carpenter, a member of that union. But you know what? When you hear things being talked about and bandied about in the legislature about things like revoking prevailing wage or making West Virginia a right to work state, when you hear that kind of garbage, you know that what they're talking about is attacking the people who support this program. And if you support this program, you support those people's ability to earn a decent rate of pay, decent benefits and to have a decent middle class life. So, no, you're not, it's not necessary, but, you know, if you're listening to a commercial station and somebody's supporting commercial liberal talk and they're selling furniture, buy your furniture there. If there's a car lot, buy your car there, because you must understand, you must understand that the organized, fanatical, fascist, religious, weirdo, snake-handling, strychnine-drinking, bush-worshipping right is way ahead of us, because if they hear an advertisement for a car lot on a liberal program, they will call that car lot and they'll say, I ain't never going to buy one of your cars as long as you're advertising on that communist program. And the little car lot owner goes, Jesus, I'm going out of business. Unless there is a liberal voice there to counteract the weirdo right-wing one. You see how it works? I mean, I'm not in the delivering marching orders business. But what I go back to is this national conversation that we absolutely must have. And we can't have it unless there's someone to have it with. And there won't be anyone to have it with unless you're supporting the people who support it. Right? Exactly. So, you know, I hope, you know, this isn't the sermonette portion of the Wednesday night prayer meeting edition of Head On. But Keith is absolutely right. The lines have been drawn in the sand, and they have been drawn sharply. And they weren't drawn by us. We were happy to go along and mind our own business. In fact, we minded our own business so well that we let the government be taken away from us, and now they're trying to tear the government apart while we were minding our own business. So the day of minding your own business and just letting the right wing do what it wants is over. You know, we complain about run-and-hide Democrats who won't stand up and support the likes of Russ Feingold or John Conyers in the House. How many times have we... But, you know, we've got to take the next step. The right wing has been putting up weirdo candidates who want to control women's innards for 40 years. They only started getting them elected a decade or decade and a half ago. But they never stopped. They never let an election defeat slow their dedication to destroying this once great nation. If we would save this once great nation and return it to its greatness, we too must be every bit as dedicated, don't you see? So if you want to get in on the conversation tonight, the phone number is 877, the number 4, Head On, 877-443-2366. This is Head On. And I'm Bob Kincaid.
With Bob Kincaid.
Hey, how you doing? Got a quick question.
Yeah?
Who was Rudolf Nureyev?
Rudy Nureyev.
Rudy.
Okay, I know this one.
Good.
Wasn't he a... Nureyev?
Nureyev.
Wasn't he a defenseman for the Maple Leafs? Sure about that? Could have been a goalie.
Yeah. Hey, hi. How you doing? Who was Louis Armstrong?
That's easy. He was the first guy on the moon.
Really?
You know... One small step for man.
Sure, one giant leap for Louis. Hey, young lady.
Uh-huh.
Does the name Caravaggio mean anything to you?
Wasn't he the guy that went out with that mob guy's sister until he got whacked?
You know, no.
Are your kids as well-rounded as they could be? Kids who participate in the arts do better in school and in life. To learn more about the value of arts education, visit AmericansForTheArts.org. Because all kids should get to appreciate Nureyev's dance, Armstrong's horn, and Caravaggio's brush. Art. Ask for more. A public service message brought to you by Americans for the Arts and the Ad Council.
Head On Radio News, I'm John Fox. It was a bad day for the American pro-life movement. An American-led raid in Iraq killed 5 children. One of the babies was only 6 months old. In addition to the 5 babies, 4 women were slaughtered as well. American tanks and aircraft attacked the people's home, reducing it to rubble and massacring the people inside. American officials disputed the death toll, proven by photographs, claiming they only slaughtered one baby. More, not less, American troops are headed for Iraq. Some 700 members of the U.S. 1st Armored Division are moving into Iraq from Kuwait. The additional forces are going in because of the seating of the new Iraqi parliament. British officials tried to warn Prime Minister Tony Blair about how badly the U.S. was fouling up the Iraq war. That's a word from a newly leaked memo. According to senior British military officials, Blair was told early on, quote, "Is strategic failure a possibility? The answer has to be yes," unquote. Coal miners returned to the Sago No. 1 Widowmaker mine in West Virginia today. International Coal Group issued a report saying that the company had absolutely nothing to do with the explosion that killed 12 miners and left a 13th profoundly brain damaged. The company report called the explosion, quote, "an unpredictable and highly unusual accident," unquote. They can't find Osama bin Laden, but U.S. Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez is still crowing. Gonzalez came out for a press conference Wednesday to ballyhoo shutting down a kiddie porn website. The bust was international in scope, with 13 of the 27 people charged being nabbed in the U.S. Alberto Gonzalez can catch kiddie porn viewers, but he's still having trouble bringing Zacharias Moussaoui to justice. Federal prosecutors may have to give up their death penalty bid for the so-called 20th hijacker after being caught cheating. A government lawyer coached witnesses after being expressly told not to do so by the trial judge in the case. As usual for the Bush administration, the case is hopelessly fouled up. Judge Leone Brinkema told the Bush administration's prosecutor, quote, "I don't know if there's ever been a case with this many significant problems," unquote. George Bush has placed himself above the law and the Constitution. That's the conclusion California's representative Henry Waxman reached. Waxman wrote a letter today to White House Chief of Staff Andrew Card asking if Bush knowingly signed an omnibus budget reconciliation act that differed by some $2 billion from what was passed. Bush was warned by the House Speaker Dennis Hastert about the failings of the bill, but signed it anyway. Said Waxman, quote, "If the president signed the reconciliation act knowing its constitutional infirmity, he would in effect be placing himself above the Constitution," unquote. That's news on the Horn, the Head On Radio Network.
Hey, I'm Bonnie Raitt. Remember how excited you were as a kid to go back to school at the end of the summer? Seeing old friends, making new ones, getting new books in a new locker, a clean slate. And music class, that special room where you went to sing and perform with your friends and learn all sorts of interesting stuff about great composers and instruments and different kinds of music. We remember our music teachers because they were so passionate about helping us learn to love music. They helped spark a love for listening to notes and voices and rhythms that continues to enrich our lives even today. Know what? I bet your kids feel the same way about music class. Ask them and make sure they get involved with music in school this year.
A PSA brought to you by MENC, the National Association for Music Education, and the National Anthem Project, the campaign to restore America's voice through music education. Music, part of a sound education.
It was another loss for the U.S. at the United Nations. By a vote of 170-4, the U.N. moved ahead with plans for a new human rights body to replace the old Human Rights Commission. George Bush wanted to be able to control the membership of the group, and the world said no. The new body will come into existence in June. George Bush is caught in a lie again. After Bush claimed that Iran was providing material for improvised explosive devices to Iraqis, Joint Chiefs of Staff Chairman Peter Pace testified in Congress yesterday that there was no evidence that that was true. Still, the White House is defending Bush's saber-rattling remarks. White House spokesman Scotty McClellan claimed his boss was only citing information given to him by John Negroponte. More mass graves have been found in Bush's Iraq. The day after 87 hastily buried victims were found, another mass grave was found near a children's soccer field. 29 bodies were found shortly before another 15 were discovered on the back of an abandoned truck several miles away. Whether the 44 human beings died of sectarian violence or civil war. The nomination of the Bush administration's new leader of the Mine Safety and Health Administration has hit a bump in the road. George Bush nominated energy industry crony Richard Stickler to the head of the agency, but Senator Robert Byrd fears he isn't committed to miner safety. The United Mine Workers say they're, quote, scared to death of Stickler. The nominee comes to MSHA from a long career as a coal industry executive whose focus has been on profits and not people. Dubai Ports World gave details today for its plans for America's port facilities. The wholly owned subsidiary of the dictatorship of the United Arab Emirates says it is soliciting bidders and hopes to sell off the ports in 4 to 6 months. Until then, DP World will presumably continue to run ports in such places as New York, Baltimore, Miami, and New Orleans. That's news on the Horn, the Head On Radio Network. I'm John Fox.
It's your second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're Head On with Bob Kincaid.
Welcome back. Coming up on 6 minutes after the hour. Just having a look during the break at Voice of San Diego. You're going to enjoy Keith Taylor's article if you'll go and have a look. Voiceofsandiego.org. And the name of the article, it's right there on the front page. Now hear this. Don't hear this. And he starts out discussing the case of Linda LaRocca, who got fired for having an Air America bumper sticker. Amazing. Let's go to Mike. Mike is with us from Panama City Beach, Florida. Hey, Mike, you're Head On.
Hey, how are you doing, Bob?
Doing good.
Have you heard about the new autopsy on that poor kid from boot camp?
I read a little bit about it. They were trying to pass off that he was that he had hemorrhaging as a result of sickle cell trait.
Yeah. No. The independent pathologist from New York made the point that he'd been working in the New York system for 40-some-odd years and hadn't seen a single person die of sickle cell trait, and there are many of them in the New York system.
Well, I suppose you could die from sickle cell trait if you had been if you'd previously had the stuffing beaten out of you by great big club-wielding, you know, guards.
Right. Have you seen the tape?
Yes, I have.
With the nurse just sort of standing there with her hands on her hips.
And afraid to say anything, afraid to do anything, just going to let the boy die, you know.
Well, not even afraid. I mean, you know, she's just watching him passionately. You know, who cares?
Yeah, disdain, I guess, rather than fear, just utter disdain for another human being's life.
Exactly. No, it's just another one of those black kids. Who cares?
Well, and there's been another rather upsetting thing take place down there, too, with the police opening fire on a kid in a car?
Yeah. He was hit six times, and they fired something like 20 shots. He was hit, I think, once or twice in the head, several times in the hip, in the knee, chest, back. And it was an undercover drug bust. Here's your drug war for you.
Yeah, and, well, I mean, was there a warrant for the kid?
No, it was an undercover drug bust.
And he was just trying to get away in the car.
Yeah. Well, he was attacking the police in the car, you know.
Yeah.
Endangering law enforcement personnel.
Oh, brother.
You know how that is.
Well, it was my understanding from what I read, Mike, that one was supposed to... the police regulations said that they were supposed to get the tag number and track him down, not gun him down.
Yeah. Well, any normal person would do that. But as it has now become standard procedure in cases, that if you try and evade the police, you're automatically endangering their lives. So that's good enough reason to open fire.
Well, you know, I hate to admit it, but there's so many of these stories I keep seeing, and everyone knows my passion for movies and such. And I mentioned it at the top of the program, there's so much of this stuff that just, you know, forget about it, Jake. It's Chinatown. And we can't do that, Mike. We can't do that. We've got to keep an eye on this stuff.
Right. Well, it's you know, it's kind of like Crash. If you've seen that, I highly recommend it. It's a troubling movie, but well worth seeing.
And, yeah, I haven't seen it yet, but I've read a good bit about it. this country is, I mean, Florida, I mean, I don't know, how does a liberal live in Florida anymore, Mike?
You don't. You hide.
Just keep your head down.
And
don't
pray to God that some redneck doesn't sit there and go.
Yeah, we had a call last night from our friend Peter over in Tallahassee, talking about the effort to get rid of Eon Sancho, the elections commissioner over there.
Right, because he refused to allow Diebold machines.
It's because
they were hacked within 10 minutes. Of their little experiment.
Yeah, and no footprints left, no fingerprints. You
correct.
Know, just flip the result and move on, and you know, no big deal.
Sure.
I mean,
it's insane. People don't realize, folks. 1984 was last year. We are here. You're going to be hearing a lot of "Do it to Julia."
Yeah.
We're
yeah,
here,
exactly.
Folks.
We live in it.
Yes, we're there. And it's as I was telling Agnes before I got on, this is just like Father Niemüller said in Germany.
Mm-hmm.
You remember that, right?
Yes, I do.
And how did he finish it off? And when they came for me, there was no one left to say anything.
Everyone was already gone.
Right.
Yeah.
I didn't speak up when they took away the dissidents because I wasn't a dissident and it didn't affect me. When they came for the homosexuals, I wasn't homosexual, so I said nothing. And then when they came for me, there was no one left to say anything.
Well, you know, that's where we are. You know, and that's what we're trying to fight against here, Mike.
Have you been to Common Dreams yet today?
Not today. No, I haven't.
There's a very interesting thing at the top of the page about FBI docs raised new questions about extensive surveillance. And it shows how they were infiltrating a Pennsylvania peace group in 2002.
The Thomas Merton Peace Center in Pittsburgh.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, those dangerous people were handing out leaflets.
Correct.
You know, this goes back to my conversation with Keith in the last part of last hour. You know, the woman, the boss, standing there in the parking lot firing the lady for having an Air America sticker on her car, and she says to her, "For all I know, you could be Al-Qaeda." Well, no. You know, there is no way humanly possible that some guy standing on Forbes Avenue in Pittsburgh in the howling wind of February 2003 is Al-Qaeda. That it's not possible. That's like this the statements that you get out of the Justice Department and the Bush administration. But, well, you know, we need to wiretap everybody because if Al-Qaeda is calling from overseas and talking to their cells, we want to know about it. Well, if you can tap in and you know where Al-Qaeda is calling from, go get Al-Qaeda.
Sure.
I mean, we're not talking about rocket science here, Michael. You know, we're 15 seconds worth of thought. These aren't sharp con artists. I said a couple of weeks ago, these are dumb street thugs.
Yeah. And you know, the thing is, no one is saying that you shouldn't be tapping. You know, if you know the people are Al Qaeda, of course you should be tapping their phone. No one is saying that you shouldn't. But to do that, what they're doing is literally intercepting millions of calls, including this one, I'm certain.
Absolutely.
You know. So, you know, there is such a thing as too much information, where they are being flooded with so much information, they can't possibly look through it all in time to realize what's important and what's not.
Exactly. What was it? September the 12th, they got around to translating the phone calls talking about what they were going to do on September 11th that had come through on September 10th. So much of what, I'm sure you're familiar with Sybil Edmonds.
Yeah.
So much of what she says goes directly to that, the ineptitude, the inefficiency, the incompetence that we're dealing with in this war on terror. And what they do is they substitute guns, bombs, and bullets for competence.
Correct.
There's a story out there that's part of our top of the hour newscast. The American military sent helicopters and a tank to blow up a mud house.
Yeah.
11 people died. 5 of them were babies.
Yeah. Well, and the problem of it is this isn't anything new, unfortunately. If you go back to 1999 and the NATO gang rape of Yugoslavia.
Right.
The exact same thing. We would sit there, and I remember in one of the early raids, they blew up a house, killing 11 people, 7 of whom were children. It was a house in a village.
Yeah, yeah.
Miles and miles and miles away from any possible military target. Oops, collateral damage.
Yeah, I hate that word.
They bomb a hospital, which is clearly marked as a hospital. Oops, collateral damage.
I know.
And then when your soldiers are killed, that is a heinous crime. Well, how do you see that? How is it a horrendous crime? Same thing with the Israelis and the Palestinians. If you kill an Israeli soldier, that is a horrendous act of terrorism. When you blow up an entire village of Palestinian peasants, civilians, that was a mistake.
Yeah, well, that's counterterrorism. You know, like today with the blowing up the babies in Iraq, Mike, there was a statement released by the U.S. military saying, we did not blow up 5 babies, we only blowed up 1.
Yeah.
And that's a level of moral equivalence that I can't engage in. Can you? I mean, Joe and Jane Sixpack, if you go out there and you say to them, okay, we blew up a 6-month-old baby. The Iraqis say we blew up 5. Is it okay that we blew up a 6-month-old baby? Joe and Jane America, they're going to say, no, that's not okay. We shouldn't be doing that.
And even more to the point, if it was Joe and Jane Doe's baby that you blew up, it may be just that one baby.
Yeah.
Is that okay?
Well, right. And it was late October of 2004 when Johns Hopkins released that study that said that American action had directly caused the deaths of over 100,000 innocent Iraqi civilians, over 50% of whom were women and children.
Mm-hmm.
And the right wing was quick to jump out and say, well, that's a communist study. They're willing to engage in this level of moral equivalency, Mike, that I can't get my mind around. Okay, it's not 100,000, it's 50,000. Is that okay? Okay, it's
sure.
Not 50, it's 25. Is that okay? It's not 25, it's 12,500. Is that okay? I want to know the level of civilian slaughter that the right wing in this country is willing to say, well, you know, you're going to have that, and that's all right.
Well, but the thing is, it doesn't change. It never has. In World War II, we were bombing civilians, for God's sakes. In Germany and Japan,
sure.
We weren't bombing military sites. We were bombing civilians. We were bombing cities.
Yeah, there was not a single military site in the city of Dresden, and we firebombed it.
Right. There was nothing military in Hiroshima. It had been left untouched specifically to be used as a test case for the A-bomb.
Well, right. And the thing is, you know, we justified it by saying, well, you know, Japan attacked our military target first. And in the case of Dresden, we said, well, you know, they firebombed Coventry. It was Coventry. And that was a totally civilian site. So, you know, the atrocities committed by one side enabled the atrocities committed by the other. And that's a primrose path to hell.
It's insane. You know, we don't seem to understand. Yes, war is brutal, but that is the reason why we need to avoid it at all costs. The
exactly.
Only time a war is justified is if you're fighting in your own defense.
Which the Iraqis are doing.
Are doing, exactly.
I mean, for all the talk that, you know, we had, it again, in the top of the hour news, Bush got himself caught in another lie. It was a couple of days ago, and he said, well, you know, the Iranians are supplying materials for Iraqis to make improvised explosive devices. And that was just a lie.
Of course.
And now, Scott McClellan says, well, you know, he's relying on something John Negroponte said. Well, John Negroponte, his job, his entire life, Mike, has been the formation of death squads.
Right. He was running the El Salvadorian death squads.
Right. And
the ones who were killing nuns and Catholic priests.
But what George Bush wants, you know, he wants people to have... and again, it's the same modus operandi that was done prior to the Iraq War. If this was a serial killer situation, it kind of is, isn't it? If this was a serial killer situation, this would be, well, this is how he always operates. First, he tells lies about the person he wants to kill, and then he kills him.
Right. And that's what's happening with Iran right now. we're setting them up as the next target. We keep on faulting them for not obeying the NPT, which they are, and yet we have violated it continually since its formation, because we're supposed to be scaling back and getting rid of our nuclear weapons, and instead we're manufacturing more practical nuclear weapons.
Battlefield tactical nukes.
Right, which is an open violation of the NPT.
Right.
So when is somebody going to bomb us?
Well, see, that's the problem.
Uh-huh.
You know, David called from Maine night before last, maybe, and we were talking about it. There is a chain of events that can be opened up by Iran that we don't want to know the logical conclusion to, Mike.
No.
You know, we nuke Iran, somebody nukes us, India lets go at Pakistan, Pakistan lets go at India, China does Pakistan, and, you know, somewhere along the way, we get cooked.
Yeah.
And, you know, after four or five of those things have gone off, Mike, it doesn't matter whether we get hit directly or not. You know, little babies come down with leukemia in California because of the prevailing winds.
Yeah. Well, not only that, I mean, even without going nuclear, all Iran has to do is close down the Straits of Hormuz, and they're cooked.
And that's easy.
Yeah.
I mean, that's real low-tech stuff. We talked about that a couple of nights ago. Just, you know, take the old rusting Hulk ships out, and, you know, if the United States Navy sinks them somewhere along the way, so what?
Yeah.
They just accomplished Iran's purpose for them.
Exactly. And then what are we going to do?
And this is what amazes me. I'm sitting here, and, you know, all I've got under my belt's a few night-long beer-sodden games of Risk. But I understand it. And there are multimillionaires and geniuses in think tanks who can't see that?
Hey, they don't care. It'll be $20 a gallon oil, and they'll be making out like gangbusters.
Well, there's a heck of a lot of that that's truth. I mean, the story out of coming out of The Guardian in the UK now that says that a couple of years ago, Tony Blair's military people were being very candid with him. And they're saying, we have hitched ourselves to a star that is going to fall.
Yeah.
Because we've got to consider the possibility that the United States is going to screw this up beyond all recognition, and we have.
Yeah. And even if we don't, even if we do nothing at this point militarily, if and when we allow Iran to open a non-dollar bourse for oil, our economy crashes.
Didn't it open a day or so ago, Mike?
I think it's set for the 20th.
Okay, maybe it is set for the 20th. Yeah, and they're mad at us. They've got a reason to destabilize us. They've got a reason to want to see us suffer.
I wonder why.
Yeah, that's the... Yeah, well, no, you don't.
Can you say Mossadegh?
Yeah, exactly. Can you say 1952? Can you say the Dulles brothers?
Exactly.
You know,
and
so
Teddy
many...
Roosevelt Jr.
Yeah, Teddy Jr. And the funny thing is, Harry Truman stopped it. He wouldn't let it go through. Churchill was leaning on Harry Truman, saying, you know, oh, the bloody wogs, they've nationalized their oil industry. And it's no good for the Royal Iran Oil Company. And Truman said, I ain't going to have nothing to do with it. But no sooner was Truman gone than they get in there to Eisenhower, and he goes, well, okay. And that was the first time the CIA had ever destabilized a government.
And that it worked, yeah.
Yeah, and look what it led to.
And then they did Guatemala a year later.
Right. You know, I guess there are people that think that this has turned into some sort of a history discussion. This isn't a history discussion, Mike. This is a discussion of the present.
Well, people don't seem to understand it. They keep on saying, oh, that's history. Oh, that's history. Well, if you don't know where you have been, how the hell do you know where you are and where you're going?
Precisely. You know, it's the question of, you know, we talk about things that will happen or may happen or can happen, and that futurism is grounded in the past. You know, if Gary Hart's writing about Napoleon Bonaparte, there's a reason. He's writing about Napoleon because the breaking of Napoleon's army bears a distinct, rational comparison with the breaking of the American military.
Of course.
We couldn't, if, you know, God forbid, you know, like Mexico's going to invade us or anything, but if there was a real threat to America right now, a real attack on American soil, we could not defend against it.
No, way we get enough troops here, war material, because most of it's already committed. I mean, there's something like, what is it, 190 recognized nations in the world, and we're in 134 of them?
Something like that, yeah. That should just make your blood run cold.
I mean, if that doesn't... they call us radicals and liberals and so forth. I'm a conservative. I believe in what Ben Franklin said. I believe in what George Washington said.
I know.
I'm a conservative.
You're not out there. You don't want to destabilize the world.
Yeah.
Neither do I.
I want to take care of my own business. Mind my own sheep.
Yeah. And then, it's the people who aren't happy that want everybody else's sheep that's going to get you and me killed.
Exactly.
And our families and our kids and our economy and everything we hold dear is literally in the balance right now. And a whole bunch of America is wondering about, ain't got their eye on the ball.
No. I mean, we forget. This is not supposed to be an oligarchy. This is not supposed to be feudalism. This is supposed to be a democratic republic.
Right. Well, the idea, the title of that group, the Project for a New American Century, consider, Mike, the hubris that is contained in that idea that there would be an American century, like we hung some sort of brand name on it. It's a human century, just like all the other ones, right?
Exactly.
Oh, my God. Well, Mike, thank you so much for your many trenchant comments. I do appreciate it. It's always good to hear from you.
My pleasure, sir.
All right, you take care.
You too.
Bye now.
Bye.
And a quick break. It's I think you'll find a continuation of some of what we're talking about as we go to our Cup of Joe report tonight. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
It's the Cup of Joe Report. I'm Joe Vecchio. I don't have a problem with whatever religious beliefs people have. They have a right to them, and they have a right to express them, and they have a right to participate in government as voters and as candidates. But I do have a problem with fundamentalists, people who believe that they are so right about life, the universe, and everything, that they feel the need to use the force of law to get others to conform. That's why the Founding Fathers wrote the First Amendment, which they seem to have either forgotten or just don't care about. For the record, denying a fundamentalist the power to rule over us doesn't infringe on their rights, because they never had that right in the first place. Just like conservatism, fundamentalism is a great campaign tool but a lousy governing philosophy. In a democratic society, you have to accept that there are going to be people who disagree with you and respect their opinions. Of course, fundamentalists don't believe in democracy, so I guess that kind of respect isn't necessary for them. People who believe they are never wrong never grow, and societies that allow these people to have power stagnate. Sure, they tend to last longer than democracies because ruling over oppressed subjects is simpler than dealing with well-informed citizens. But it isn't a very pleasant life for leaders or followers alike. In my world, the fundamentalists would be allowed to continue to believe what they want. In their world, I wouldn't have any choice in the matter. And neither would anyone else. Now, get back to work. This has been the Cup of Joe Report by Joe Vecchio. Listen to the Cup of Joe radio show, available via streaming audio at cupojoe.blogspot.com.
Lottie and the chat room has fixed himself some stuffed pork chops with apple raisin walnut chutney.
You, me, Grace, Rama.
Mango chutney.
Hey, speaking of that,
it's all you need.
Mustard seed?
Mustard seed, yeah. That article.
It's not the same as mustard gas.
Well, it's pretty close. Mustard gas.
Join
mustard
Grace gas. And Rama, homebodies, Sunday evenings, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, right here on the Head On Radio Network. It's food for thought.
This is Bruce Birch, and if you missed my show Sunday night, here's what I got up to.
A group of U.S. businessmen in the UAE said they will invite the Oprah Winfrey Show and other talk shows to the Gulf to change American public opinion, which has helped block Dubai's takeover of six U.S. ports. He's saying that they want to reach out to the average guy in the United States and explain why the UAE is important. If you want to reach out to the average guy in the United States, they need to send something, not Oprah. I mean, how many average guys do you know watch Oprah? I don't. If they want to reach out to the average guy in the United States, as much as I hate to say it, they need to send Jerry Springer and the Jerry Springer Show over there with the bald guy. You know, maybe they can do a UAE version of My Grandmother Is Also My Lover or something like that. Oh, that's just a...
Join me, Bruce Birch, for All Things Reconsidered every Sunday evening, 7 p.m. Pacific, 10 p.m. Eastern, allthingsreconsidered.org.
A man who has the heart of a conservative, pickled in a jar on his desk. It's Bob Kincaid.
Another night flying by, this Wednesday night prayer meeting edition of Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid. Your phone calls welcome, of course, 877, the number 4, Head On, 877-443-2366. Straight to the phones. David is with us from Nashville, Tennessee. Hey, David, you're Head On.
Well, good evening, Bob, and it was sure good to hear from Jack and Meg, too.
Yeah, love them.
Yeah.
I got to get the new album.
Oh, yeah, you should. And I should, too. Great to hear new callers. That's wonderful.
Yeah, isn't it?
You know, guys that write and guys that, you know, feel like maybe... There are Southerners that, you know, aren't in love with W, but I got a little point here about the other side of the Iraq War, and then I've got three little examples of media rape by the neocons to tie it to it.
Okay.
This morning, I heard Governor Bredesen, governor of the state of Tennessee, running for election, and like any governor that's running for election, he's going to make the pilgrimage to Iraq and shake the hand of the troops, because, you know, Fort Campbell,
right?
That's a big deal. That's the home of one of the airborne units, and it straddles the border state line between Tennessee and Kentucky, and there's it's important, and it matters. So the governor goes over there. I mean, every governor up for election is going to make the pilgrimage over there and shake the hands and say, "Oh, guys, we really appreciate it." And he brought up a really, really interesting point, because he expressed concern about it on a morning radio show here in Nashville. And that concern is we are wearing out National Guard equipment 10 times more quickly than you ever would here in the state. Desert sand, those conditions, constant usage, are grinding up every piece of equipment, whether it be a Humvee, whether it be a Bradley, whether it be a bulldozer, whether it be a road grader, no matter what it is being worn out at an incredible clip.
Yeah.
And he threw out a figure that he felt was substantiated, that $500 million of National Guard equipment was going to stay in that country that should have never been invaded.
That's probably a conservative estimate, isn't it?
I would say so, because, you know, if you start working backwards, Humvees, 10-ton capable straight trucks, all that sort of stuff, made to government spec, but not necessarily engineered to put up with sand, you know, 24/7 for three years, and it's all going to be left there.
Well, you know, some of this stuff, we've already got the stories out of Iraq, David. Some of this stuff, when, you know, when the axle goes or the, you know, the thing overheats or whatever, and you're somewhere between Baghdad and God knows where in a convoy, you get in the next vehicle and you move on because otherwise you die.
Precisely.
And we leave it lay.
And that contributes to, A, our loss of equipment and the insurgency or the fighters in the Civil War or who knows what comes out of the ground at night. It gives them a chance to scavenge and create equipment of their own. Now then, I'm sure some listeners are thinking, what the hell does that matter based on how horrible it is that we've killed 2,500 of ours, 100,000 of theirs? Well, it's like this, boys and girls. We're not going to be able to replace that equipment. We're broke. We're 8 headed toward 9, headed toward $10 trillion in debt. And there's no end in sight. So for the next 5 to 8 years, when the natural disaster, like, say, Katrina, hit somewhere in America, when the National Guard used to show up with bulldozers and road graders and cement mixers and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, now they show up on foot with shovels. At best.
Exactly. We're going to look like those Chinese guys in the newsreels from the 50s with nothing but their bare hands to put sand into bags. And this really matters to me because, according to National Geographic and a couple of other scientific studies, it is just as likely that the New Madrid Fault will open to a width of a couple of hundred feet, swallow the Mississippi River. It's just as likely that's going to happen as the San Andreas. We'll swallow up San Francisco and Los Angeles.
Well, you know, within historical memory, the New Madrid has done that.
1811, the creation of that, and 1812 of Real Foot Lake.
Yeah, I was going to say, anybody who's ever been to Real Foot Lake knows about the New Madrid Fault.
Well, it's past due, Bob. And, you know, I'm personally interested in that because I've got a cute little red-headed granddaughter in Memphis, the epicenter of that whole shooting match.
Yep.
And all of that equipment has been used up. We're broke. And can you imagine 3 years from now, let's say we're lucky enough to have the troops home, and somebody somewhere says, excuse me, Mr. President, I'm down here in Tennessee, and I need $8 million worth of rolling stock to let my National Guard even go fight a brush fire somewhere. Sorry, we're broke.
Ain't got it.
We got to take care of the drug companies.
It's not 3 years down the road, David. You know, there are foreign countries offering aid to the Gulf Coast of the United States because we don't have it. You know,
they can see what our citizens aren't getting from their government.
There's a reason that it took dear leaders 72 hours to even express sympathy for the victims of the tsunami in Christmas 2004.
Well,
sympathy was all he could muster.
Well, Steve, we'll get to his sympathy in just a minute.
Yeah, okay.
Unless you've already... Well, we'll talk about what it is in a minute. But now then, on the radio this morning, in a taped broadcast, as our governor was expressing those sorts of things, if our governor, and he was talking to one of the right-wing nut hate radio kings of this part of the world, one claims to be nationally informed on political matters, and the other guy claims to lead a tax revolt to make sure Tennessee moves from being the 50th or 49th level tax state. In other words, only one state in the union is less taxed than we are, and he wants to make sure that it goes down further so we can have even worse schools, fewer services, and be even more screwed as a state for having a living condition here. Anytime the governor said anything this guy didn't like, as a practitioner of right-wing hate radio, he would guide the governor away from it. And the governor said something along the lines of, with $500 million worth of equipment over there that can't help us over here, I have concerns about the future. Well, but Governor Bredesen, I'm sure you feel that that's a small price to pay for the freedom we enjoy by fighting that war over there rather than here. That's the kind of arrogance, that's the kind of media savvy, That's the kind of manipulation that's going on. You've got a 2-bit radio host that I detest that spews hate 3 hours a day, correcting an elected official, a well-liked governor, in a reasonably functional state.
And Bredesen's a Democrat, isn't he?
Yes, he is.
Okay, just checking.
Yes, he is.
What's he doing on the radio with a freak like that in the first place? And
well,
I mean,
that's the biggest rating in drive in the morning and within 50 miles of Nashville, Tennessee. That guy owns morning radio in Nashville, Tennessee.
Well, the thing that that's a discussion for another night, maybe, David. But the fact of the matter is, Democrats, if they're really Democrats, need to figure out that we stop enabling these punks. You can stop that guy from being the biggest thing in 50 miles by stop going on his show. It's like, you know, there are people, and bless their little hearts, they're hell-bent on calling right-wing talk radio and showing them how wrong they are. So, and daggum, you know, as long, and it applies on this end. I mean, I'm the magician telling people how the trick is done. As long as I got all the buttons, you don't win.
Yeah, you're the house, then believe me, this host here feels like he's the house. Now then, let's move on to Dear Leader.
Yeah. If,
by any chance, did you touch on his little answer today about
No, haven't gotten there yet. The thing about the extending the sign-up period for the Medicare prescription drug program?
Exactly.
No, I haven't gotten there yet.
Well, when you find it, I invite you, I invite all listeners to listen with a critical, open-minded ear as to whether this was a leader or a small-minded, angry little man that's ignorant and detached and doesn't want to be bothered. In response to the question, many seniors, Mr. President, are having a tough time with the sign-up process. Is there any chance you and your administration would extend the sign-up period beyond mid-May? And I invite everybody to find a way to find it online and hear it and see what you think about Mr. Kindness and how he answered that reporter.
Oh, the compassionate conservative?
Oh, yeah. It is utterly, utterly chilling to me because I'll guarantee you if you sit Mom Bab and W the Monkey down in front of a qualified individual and give them 30 minutes sign up for that drug program, I guarantee you, neither one of them will make sense out of it. They won't even know what's going on. They wouldn't be able to figure it out should you put a gun to their head. Speaking euphemistically, Agent Fred.
Right, yeah.
Chesapeake tide charts.
Yeah.
Sarin gas. Just kidding. But, yeah, the arrogance that these people have developed out of their ignorance and not caring. And I'm surprised I haven't heard you talking about having the studio monitor, the TV monitor, over on Fox tonight because, my gracious, Ms. Harris is on Hannity and Combs tonight speaking about her prediction and her future, or her predicament.
Yeah, her pending indictment.
I gave her 38 large and she laughed it off and the theory and her campaign, one of her key campaign people quit the day before yesterday. So I figured she was going to go on there and just say that the liberals had ruined it for her. And then Hannity would do his typical routine and give her 30 minutes of free political advertising.
Oh God, it's just, yeah, I know. Hey David, well, thanks so much, brother.
Oh, Senator Harris, does this sound good?
No, it doesn't sound good.
No, it doesn't.
Take care. Bye now. All right, and on to Wayne. Hey, Wayne, you're head on.
Hey, Bob, how you doing?
What's going on, man?
Always good to hear from Brother David. He brought up an interesting thing. When I was young and a hippie, but let me reframe that, when I was a younger hippie, I guess, you know. And I guess that all depends on your definition of what that meant, you know, or what that means. To me, it means a liberal, free-thinking, kind of a good person that just wanted to let everybody,
Yeah, you leave me alone, I leave you alone, we're all happy.
Exactly, and let's take care of people.
Right.
But I used to read a guy, and I don't know if you're familiar with Edgar Cayce.
Oh, yeah.
Edgar Cayce was known as America's sleeping prophet. The new Madre's fault,
yeah,
has been quiet for a very, very long time. And everybody always thinks about the San Andreas.
Right.
You know, the San Andreas manages to relieve itself from time to time here.
Yeah, it gets a little uppity and busts a few bridges and highways, right, and has a disaster in Frisco or L.A. or something. Yeah.
The new Madre's fault has just kind of been building and building and building.
Yeah.
Edgar Casey made a prediction many, many years ago that, well, you know, similar to Bible things about earthquakes in diverse places and stuff. But one of the predictions he made was that the Great Lakes would flow into the Gulf of Mexico.
Ooh.
Ooh. If you think about the New Madras Fault and you think about what lies between the Gulf of Mexico and the Great Lakes, there ain't a whole bunch of high land there.
No.
You know, the Alleghenies would kind of form the right bank, I guess. But, you know, that's something that a lot of people don't consider.
No, a lot of people don't think about the geophysics, I guess is what you'd call it, of the Mississippi Basin. But as David pointed out very correctly, in 1811, the last big bust up of the New Madrid Fault, the Mississippi River flowed backwards.
Yeah, it did.
And it formed Real Foot Lake.
Yeah, it did.
And it's real ugliness. I mean, it was sparsely populated at the time, but it was still populated enough that people were, grandchildren were telling their kids what their grandparents told them about it.
Well, it was populated enough that the history was written.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly.
And, you know, it every now and then you'll get a little seismic rumble there in the southeast, Alabama, Mississippi, western Tennessee, Kentucky, and, you know, just kind of a little, hey, it's still here. And, yeah, it's storing up its kinetic energy, and if it goes, whew, ugly.
Yeah, it will be. Yeah, it will be. And, you know, like Brother David points out, you know, that what are we going to do then? You know, all our equipment's in Iraq, and it's not working.
Well, yeah, and, you know, everybody, you know, I remember Mean Gene Schmidt, you know, and, you know, cowards don't, you know, calling John Murtha a coward. John Murtha said, I've been talking to the generals, because this guy's connected in the Pentagon. He's beloved in the Pentagon. You know, he's an old Sergeant Blood type.
He's a brother to those people.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah,
and
I mean,
he says,
he's one of them.
Yeah, and he says, I've been talking to the generals, and I said, Buster, don't be asking for any new stuff. You best be learning how to fix what you got, because we don't have money to buy you any new.
No, they don't.
I mean, the American people are just, well, you know, it's that part of the program again, I guess, Wayne, about the sleeping American people. But, you know, we sit there and we watch, we watch what happens after Katrina. You know, oh, how did this happen? You know, this doesn't happen in America. It does happen in Bush's America, you know, Wayne?
Yes.
This kind of crap happens all the time in Bush's America.
Well, you know, I mean, the American people got far more important things to think about, like, you know, two dudes wanting to get married, or what China pattern they're going to pick out, like
yeah,
you mentioned, you know. And, you know, whether or not their neighbor's going to have an abortion. I mean, you know, we can't be worrying about all this other stuff. It's,
Well, you know, the Republican Party counts on that. I mean, we're...
Sure they count on it. They play on it.
I got a, let's see, where is it? I got a story here. You know, I get these... weird little invitations to interview strange right-wing people from time to time in my mailbox.
Let's get some of mine.
Oh, you know, there's this woman who wrote a book, you know, that was a children's book, trying to make people, make little children afraid that Hillary Clinton was under their bed. I'm not kidding, Wayne. I couldn't make this crap up.
Okay.
And so, so my invitation for this
interview... That's scary. I wouldn't want Hillary under my bed either.
Well, she's probably putting Vince Foster under there. I mean,
yeah, right.
I mean, you know how these people are.
Right.
Oh, my God. So she's got a new book out, and I'm not going to promote the damn thing, but she's all up in the... No, Help Mom... Help. Okay, I'm going to give the... Help Mom, Hollywood is in my hamper.
Oh, God.
And
you
so...
say that.
Yeah, well, yeah, and because the whole thing, Wayne, is that the whole reason for this press release is they want to get this woman on the air because, and you know, all caps, headline, bold face, Madonna endorses Hillary. Life imitates cartoon art. Madonna, the diva of decadency, has endorsed Hillary Clinton in the 2008 presidential election with an eerie resemblance to a page out of Help Mom, Hollywood is in My Hamper.
Scary, isn't it?
This is what these, you know, this is what these people are paying attention to. You know, I used to goon on not paying attention, middle-class America. I think that day is over. The new Pew Charitable Trust numbers or Pew Research numbers are out, and Dear Leader is at 33%, Wayne.
That couldn't possibly be true.
67% of America, which includes about 17% of America that actually voted for the clown, are going, this guy's a boob. Now, but 33% of America, they're concerned with Help Mom, Hollywood is in My Hamper.
Wow.
They're you know, that 33% of, you know, we're getting pretty much down to nothing but snake handlers and tongue speakers and that kind of thing.
Well, it's funny. Rush likes to quote Pew.
Yeah.
I didn't hear him quoting that one today.
No, this one's not going to exist for Rush. This is, you know, one of those where he gets to take a couple more pills, chew them up for the refreshing burst of flavor, and forget they ever happened.
Now, he doesn't even use water anymore either. Chews them.
Yeah, just grinds them. You know,
like them chewable vitamins.
Yeah, right. You know, I think his OxyContin may come in little Fred Flintstone shapes for all
it
I know.
It probably does, or I bet they look like Fred Flintstone to him. Oh, there's a Wilma.
Oh wait, that's a girl. Don't want no girls. I'm Rush.
Exactly.
But yeah, you know, this, you know, I'm not going to goon on people for watching Desperate Housewives and NASCAR anymore. I'm going to goon on the people that are out there reading Help Mom, Hollywood is in My Hamper, while we've got a military that's abandoning trucks at the side of the road because they don't have the materials to fix them on the road and can't get them home, and we're in a hell of a mess, and these people are worried about Madonna.
Well, listen, Monkey Guy must have read that book because, I mean, he kind of quoted it today with that lady that said, asked, could they extend that deadline for the prescription drug thing?
Yeah.
And President Bush told her, you got to help your mama. Decide which one.
Oh, God.
That's what he told her.
Yeah, we're not going to do these people.
We're not changing that deadline. You got to help your mom decide which way she wants to be ripped off. You know, which one of these companies, you know, my God.
You know, and meanwhile, this woman's out there. Oh, yeah, Madonna's metamorphosis from Queen of Smut to Queen of Suburbia.
Yeah, well.
You know, I'm not ready to forgive anybody who voted for George Bush. Okay?
No, me neither.
But I'm ready to maybe try to reach across a little bit somehow, Wayne, or say, well, you know, we understand you got suckered. You know, that's what we say to the 17% that are with us now that understand that he's an idiot.
Well, I got a thing. I think, can we request things from Pew?
Yeah.
Well, I think they ought to do a survey and see how many people in this country really give a damn what Madonna thinks.
Well, and again, but you know, we could do that. It would cost you big bucks. But the thing is, what you'd find out, Wayne, is that 33% of America are more worried about two dudes picking out a China pattern, or what Madonna thinks, or want to shoot watermelons in their backyard to prove that Hillary killed Vince Foster. There, you know, there's about 26-30% of America that thinks that that matters.
Yeah, but just think the way things are going, Bob, next week that may be 26.
But sooner or later, we're going to get down to that bare bones minimum. You know, Tony Perkins. You know, last night I talked about Tony Perkins from the American whatever Society to Protect the Family Against Adam and Steve, basically calling for the assassination of Russ Feingold. Today it's Wayne Allard, a senator from Colorado, who's doing the same thing.
Yeah, I sent him an email today.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Yeah, he says that...
He called him a traitor.
Yeah, outright called Russ Feingold a traitor.
Yes, yes.
You know, where's our Edward R. Murrow? Where's the guy that will look Wayne Allard in the eye and say, at long last, sir, have you no shame? Have you no decency?
Well, that's kind of, you know, my email. I mean, they wanted you to make a comment, and my comment was, you, sir, are the traitor.
Well, he is.
And he is.
I mean, if anybody is a traitor, the people that feel like they owe more allegiance to George Bush than they owe the Constitution of the United States, those people have serious problems with any sort of loyalty to any America that you and I would recognize, Wayne.
The people that make the argument that George Bush acted legally and his spying on the American people are traitors. No, I'm sorry. You know, that is against the Constitution. The man, there's a law. They wrote the law. The law says all you got to do is get a warrant, and we'll give you 72 hours.
Yeah, and it's not like they're going to make you pass the ACT test to get the warrant either.
No. And why didn't they try to get those warrants? Because they knew what they were doing was illegal, and their warrants would have been denied.
Precisely. I mean, ordinarily you go to the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act court, and you go, I want a warrant, and they go, okay.
Yeah, exactly. But if you go out there and say, we need a warrant to so that we could listen to everything that the Kerry campaign is doing, the court more than likely would have said no. So they said, well, let's don't go to the court. We don't need no stinking warrants.
Yeah.
So.
I believe that with all my heart.
I do, too.
They knew when John Kerry was going to the bathroom.
Yes, they did. You know. And, And then, you know, the other thing with the, going on to this ports deal. So now we learn that the deal was already done.
Yeah.
I mean, it was already done even before they came out and said they're going to transfer to that the Dubai was going to buy the thing from the British company. The deal already happened.
Yeah.
I mean, because.
No, it wasn't going to buy. It went down.
It went down, yeah.
They own the ports
the way
now.
They presented it to us.
Yeah, they own the ports now.
Yes.
But that's my understanding, because memos have gone out, one of them circulating on the Internet from Miami.
It took 6 months to get somebody to buy them from us.
Right.
Well, if somebody has to buy it from them, means they already own them.
Yeah. It kind of does, doesn't it?
Well, that's the way, you know.
Yeah, thank God the Congress is out there playing checkers while the Bush administration plays chess.
Oh, yeah. All right, buddy.
All right, you take care, Wayne.
Okay, I'll be talking to you.
All right, have a good one.
Bye.
Bye. Where's the right wing indignation? The Bush administration did it again. They looked at Congress and said, "Screw you, we'll do what we want to do." And they did it. And here's the fun part: the Wayne Allards of the world will stand up in the Senate or the House of Representatives and do what they've done with the illegal spying program. They'll stand up and they'll say, well, we need to reach an accommodation with the Bush administration so that what they did illegally won't be illegal no more. Damn. Here I've been running around trying to obey the law and stuff. And all, you know, I guess next week we're going to hear about an accommodation for Claude Allen. To make it legal for, not you, not me, but make it legal for Claude Allen to go to Target and rip them off with refund scams. These people have some brass. This is head on. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Every 3 minutes, another woman gets the news that she has breast cancer. And here are some of the first words she hears. Hertenue oncogene, aromatase inhibitor, ductocarcinoma in situ. What do these words mean? How are you going to decide what to do if you can't even say what you have? Listen to me, Shirley Jones. As soon as you get your diagnosis, go to breastcancer.org. It's a special place on the Internet where you can learn how to say all those breast cancer words and find out what they mean. At breastcancer.org, you can learn more about your particular kind of cancer and your treatment options. Prepare a list of questions for your next doctor's visit and get all kinds of other useful information to guide you and your family through this. Breastcancer.org, the first place to go the minute you find out you have breast cancer.
Head on Radio News, I'm John Fox. It was a bad day for the American pro-life movement. An American-led raid in Iraq killed 5 children. One of the babies was only 6 months old. In addition to the 5 babies, 4 women were slaughtered as well. American tanks and aircraft attacked the people's home, reducing it to rubble and massacring the people inside. American officials disputed the death toll proven by photographs, claiming they only slaughtered 1 baby. More, not less, American troops are headed for Iraq. Some 700 members of the U.S. 1st Armored Division are moving into Iraq from Kuwait. The additional forces are going in because of the seating of the new Iraqi parliament. British officials tried to warn Prime Minister Tony Blair about how badly the U.S. was fouling up the Iraq war. That's a word from a newly leaked memo. According to senior British military officials, Blair was told early on, quote, "Is strategic failure a possibility? The answer has to be yes," unquote. Coal miners returned to the Sago No. 1 Widowmaker mine in West Virginia today. International Coal Group issued a report saying that the company had absolutely nothing to do with the explosion that killed 12 miners and left a 13th profoundly brain damaged. The company report called the explosion, quote, "an unpredictable and highly unusual accident," unquote. They can't find Osama bin Laden, but U.S. Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez is still crowing. Gonzalez came out for a press conference Wednesday to ballyhoo shutting down a kiddie porn website. The bust was international in scope, with 13 of the 27 people charged being nabbed in the U.S. Alberto Gonzalez can catch kiddie porn viewers, but he's still having trouble bringing Zacharias Moussaoui to justice. Federal prosecutors may have to give up their death penalty bid for the so-called 20th hijacker after being caught cheating. A government lawyer coached witnesses after being expressly told not to do so by the trial judge in the case. As usual for the Bush administration, the case is hopelessly fouled up. Judge Leon Brinkema told the Bush administration's prosecutor, quote, "I don't know if there's ever been a case with this many significant problems," unquote. George Bush has placed himself above the law and the Constitution. That's the conclusion California's representative Henry Waxman reached. Waxman wrote a letter today to White House Chief of Staff Andrew Card asking if Bush knowingly signed an omnibus budget reconciliation act that differed by some $2 billion from what was passed. Bush was warned by the House Speaker Dennis Hastert about the failings of the bill, but signed it anyway. Said Waxman, quote, "If the president signed the reconciliation act knowing its constitutional infirmity, he would in effect be placing himself above the Constitution," unquote. That's news on the Horn, the Head On Radio Network.
Hey, I'm Bonnie Raitt. Remember how excited you were as a kid to go back to school at the end of the summer? Seeing old friends, making new ones, getting new books in a new locker, a clean slate. And music class, that special room where you went to sing and perform with your friends and learn all sorts of interesting stuff about great composers and instruments and different kinds of music. We remember our music teachers because they were so passionate about helping us learn to love music. They helped spark a love for listening to notes and voices and rhythms that continues to enrich our lives even today. Know what? I bet your kids feel the same way about music class. Ask them and make sure they get involved with music in school this year.
A PSA brought to you by MENC, the National Association for Music Education, and the National Anthem Project, the campaign to restore America's voice through music education. Music, part of a sound education.
It was another loss for the U.S. at the United Nations. By a vote of 170-4, the U.N. moved ahead with plans for a new human rights body to replace the old Human Rights Commission. George Bush wanted to be able to control the membership of the group, and the world said no. The new body will come into existence in June. George Bush is caught in a lie again. After Bush claimed that Iran was providing material for improvised explosive devices to Iraqis, Joint Chiefs of Staff Chairman Peter Pace testified in Congress yesterday that there was no evidence that that was true. Still, the White House is defending Bush's saber-rattling remarks. White House spokesman Scotty McClellan claimed his boss was only citing information given to him by John Negroponte. More mass graves have been found in Bush's Iraq. The day after 87 hastily buried victims were found, another mass grave was found near a children's soccer field. 29 bodies were found shortly before another 15 were discovered on the back of an abandoned truck several miles away. Whether the 44 human beings died of sectarian violence or civil war. The nomination of the Bush administration's new leader of the Mine Safety and Health Administration has hit a bump in the road. George Bush nominated energy industry crony Richard Stickler to the head of the agency, but Senator Robert Byrd fears he isn't committed to miner safety. The United Mine Workers say they're, quote, scared to death of Stickler. The nominee comes to MSHA from a long career as a coal industry executive whose focus has been on profits and not people. Dubai Ports World gave details today for its plans for America's port facilities. The wholly owned subsidiary of the dictatorship of the United Arab Emirates says it is soliciting bidders and hopes to sell off the ports in 4 to 6 months. Until then, DP World will presumably continue to run ports in such places as New York, Baltimore, Miami, and New Orleans. That's news on the Horn, the Head On Radio Network. I'm John Fox.
Tonight's final hour of Head On begins now. 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Here's Buck.
Easy enough, isn't it? I'm Bob. This is Head On. And a couple of stories I wanted to hit as we went along our merry way. Since it is Wednesday night, it's prayer meeting night. Massachusetts Governor Mitt Romney, according to CNN, has proposed legislation in Massachusetts that would, exempt religious organizations from a state law that currently compels them to provide adoption services to gays and lesbians. Because why? Because in Mitt Romney Republican world, well, you got to understand, he came in second in Tennessee. Bill Frist came in first. Bill Frist, whose family makes millions doing abortions, came in first. Mitt Romney, whose religion tells him that he has to believe that Native Americans are descended from a lost tribe of the children of Israel, really, not kidding. Mitt Romney sanctions religious bigotry. Now, you go to any state in the union you want to, and if you go and look at their child welfare laws, you're going to find that in, whether it's Department of Children and Families or Child Protective Services or whatever you want to call the little organization, generally under the Department of Health and Human Resources, what you're going to find is that in every statute, the first thing you're going to see is something along the lines of, it shall be the mission of this statute to attend to the well-being of the child. The well-being of the child. You've got to understand what this means when a right-wing Republican freak proposes this kind of stuff. Yeah, this is bigotry. Sure, this is bigotry. But it's worse than that. Alberto Gonzalez came out today and he was all thrilled because his Justice Department had taken down a kiddie porn ring. Good for them. Good for them. I want them to do that. They should do that. It's the right thing to do. Kiddie porn is disgusting. But the thing is, I'm not necessarily talking about it on this program because, you're liberals, you're progressives, you're Democrats, you're decent people. You understand that kiddie porn is bad. You don't have to have it explained to you like the right-wingers do that it's bad. How many times, how many stories have we seen of some priest, some preacher, some man of God who's been busted for, some level of sexual deviance and sickness or another, especially preying on children? Do you remember the youth minister that George Bush appeared on stage with out in Iowa? He was busted 6 months later for doing his 15-year-old the flock. I said flock. That's where the problem comes from. Not about, you know, so, you know, Mitt Romney? Mitt Romney endorses bigotry against people who might otherwise provide good, loving, caring homes because Mitt Romney, in his bigotry, believes it's better off to ignore the well-being of the child in favor of putting them in a home with some religiously insane person. It's like what Joe Vecchio mentioned in the Cup of Joe report earlier, a half an hour ago or so. In our world, we want the religious people, the as weird as they want to be. You want to wear sacred underwear? Wear the sacred underwear. We don't care. But don't, for God's sakes, don't tell us that we're going to burn in an ever-heating-up sort of underwear-free hell for not wearing it with you. Okay? And in the world that we live in, we, you know, they're allowed to believe that just absolutely crazier than a sprayed roach stuff. They're allowed to believe that the Native Americans are descended from a lost tribe of the children of Israel. Absolutely. They can believe 19 crazy things per second. It doesn't bother us. But in their world, as Joe noted, we are not allowed to not believe their insanity. And so that's the kind of bigotry you get from the weird religious right. Mitt Romney proposed legislation exempting religious organizations from a state law that currently compels them to provide adoption services to gays and lesbians. Because, of course, they get state funds. And they shouldn't be allowed to practice their bigotry as long as they're taking taxpayer dollars. And by God, they take it with a smile on their face and a song in their heart. Sure they do. My God in heaven. Romney, a Republican, said he offered the measure in response to Catholic Charities' decision to terminate their adoption program because the legal requirement that gays be given equal consideration as prospective adoptive parents violated their deeply held religious beliefs. Well, you know, daggum, that's just real pity for Catholic Charities. They're bigots, so therefore they're going to get out of the adoption game. Well, okay, that's fine. This is America. You're not allowed to be a bigot. Not where the well-being of children is concerned. No, absolutely not. This bill will allow... you can't do the redneck voice with Mitt Romney. This bill will allow religious institutions to continue to be licensed to provide adoption services in the Commonwealth without violating the tenets of their faith. I thought they were Christians. I thought Catholic Charities were Christians. Because there's not a single blessed word coming from the mouth of Yeshua, the brown-skinned Palestinian carpenters, about what people do when the lights go out. Or when dark comes, there weren't any lights, you know, when the candle flame's blown out or whatnot. Not a word. It's all the bizarre stuff in Leviticus about not eating shellfish and not wearing clothes made of two separate fibers, and men shall not wear put on the yea verily the raiment of a woman, nor the woman the raiment of the man. How the hell could you tell they were all wearing dresses? That's where all that crap comes from. And Leviticus, this is Bible moment. Leviticus applies to the Levites, the priestly class, 3,000 freaking years ago. That's who that applies to. But Mitt Romney wants to let Catholic Charities go on and practice the tenets of their bigotry. I'm sorry, tenets of their faith. Is this going to play in Massachusetts? I know we've got listeners in Massachusetts. Is this going to play there? Are people in Massachusetts going to sit down and quietly accept this level of bigotry 50 years ago, it was a statute saying that, well, they don't have to place adopted babies with, you know, those people. The dark-skinned ones. Yeah. Same hate, different decade. Makes no difference. Let's go to the phones. Gerard is with us from South Bend, Indiana. Hey, Gerard, you're head on.
Hi, Bob. How's it going?
Doing pretty good, you?
Oh, not bad. I just wanted to make a couple comments since it's prayer meeting night.
Sure.
Let me start. I'm a guy who was raised on Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
I'm also a product of what's loosely called a liberal arts education.
There's another thing we have in common.
And so, you know, I've been exposed to a lot of stuff, but like to think when it comes to spiritual things, I'm pretty well open-minded. But the thing that really gets me about, the Pat Robertsons of the world, is that, and it goes, I guess it goes back to my upbringing, because we always were told the parables, the parables of Jesus, but also the stories of Jesus. And there's one where he is asked by in my way of thinking, the right wingers of the day, the Pharisees, whether they should pay taxes to Caesar or not.
Mm-hmm.
And his response was that, you know, you should give to Caesar what's Caesar's and give to God what's God's.
Yeah, and that makes pretty good sense to me.
And my wife is, and she always, I try to keep things simple. My mm-hmm. wife always tells me that, that whoever invented the KISS principle had me in mind. But to me, that's just on its face says that, you know, It kind of makes a comment towards the separation of church and state. You know, like you were just saying, you know, if people want to handle snakes and all that stuff, that's fine. Go ahead. You know, knock yourself out. But the thing, my objection comes to the Pratt Robertsons of the world is that and they're always talking about bringing the kingdom of God to America. The only problem I have with that is that you're talking about a spiritual thing and a secular thing. And they seem to want to bring the kingdom of God to America as long as they're the ones that are going to run it.
Well, yeah, they're going to be the king's regent.
Right.
Yeah, they're dangerous, Gerard.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, I just... Go ahead, please.
To contrast that, you know, a while back you had a program about kind of centered around the theme of people from the South who have made a big difference, and specifically, you know, mountain people, but Southern people as well.
Yeah.
Who have made a big difference in the life of America. And to me, one I always go back to is Jimmy Carter.
Exactly.
Now, there's a fella who... you don't talk with him for more than 5 or 10 minutes or hear him talk for more than 5 or 10 minutes, and you know exactly where he is spiritually.
Right, and you know that you're talking with a genuinely decent human being.
Yeah, but at the same time, when it comes to things like what is the role of government when it comes to these kind of religious matters, he's one who says, you know, I serve the Prince of Peace, but... you know, everybody ought to be able to serve the God that they want to serve and not have one favored over another by the United States government.
Well, you're absolutely right, and he's right, because down that road lies religious warfare.
Yeah.
And, you know, like we said earlier in the program, you know, you look back, you learn a little bit of history, and that way you learn where you are and where you're going. And when you start letting, this resolution, you know, you're not too awful far from Missouri, Gerard.
Right.
And they want to declare Christianity the only true religion in Missouri.
Yeah. Scares the pants off me.
Yeah. Imagine what it does for the Jews.
Yeah.
Imagine, you know, the Muslims, the Wiccans, the pagans, the Native Americans, because, you know, it's the next step to say, well, you know, you got to pay a little extra tax if you don't want to be our kind of religion.
Yeah. See, the thing that gets me is that, you know, I really believe that Dear Leader and company, way back when, going back to Leo Strauss, or was that his name?
Yeah.
Leo, yeah. He was supposed to be one of the founders of the neocon movement.
Yeah.
You know, I think what they looked at, they saw this demographic out there. And they said, we can sell our kind of fascism to these people. Because they're halfway there already. Because they only want certain kinds of people to be in control. They don't want to have a government of the people, for the people, by the people. They want to have a government of the elite.
Well, yeah, because that government you just described is hard work. You know, yeah. It goes back to Ben Franklin saying, a republic if you can keep it.
Sure.
And you know, keeping that republic requires the absolute vigilance of you and me and everybody else. And, you know, sure, you get to go off and watch TV or whatever, but you got to be paying attention. And these people don't want to pay attention. They want to take everything on faith. They want to be, you know, America's a wonderful place, and they want to take it on faith. And they want to take it on faith that you know, like what David mentioned earlier, when that next hurricane comes, they want to take it on faith that somebody will be there to pick up the pieces. But faith is not going to get that job done.
Mm-hmm. I saw a thing this morning on C-SPAN where I hope I'm going to pronounce his name right, but I think his last name, Tom. It's either Branton or Blanton.
Okay.
He's the director of the National Archive. And talking about this whole thing where the government wants to reclassify all this information. You know, and you look at that and you think, now what? And he's talking about the things that they want to reclassify are not, they're not secrets of how, they're not real secrets.
No, they've already been out for a while.
Yeah. And they're not things that are going to do anything except possibly embarrass some politician. And, you know, what to me, when I see that, what I immediately think of is that they're trying to rewrite history. You know, if a journalist or anybody else wants to get a hold of this information for publication, and it's not available, they can't get to it.
They can't do the history.
To whose advantage would that be other than somebody who wants to rewrite history?
Well, it's worth remembering, Gerard, that one of the first official acts of the Bush administration was to classify everything in his daddy's library.
Exactly.
You know, so that you can't go back there and you can't find out about the October surprise and you can't find out about the phone calls that went into his daddy about helping his boy out, you know, in the busted oil deals, among other things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is these people are afraid of the light because they're crooks.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, with the Nixon tapes, you know, you hear these things and you hear the way he talks about different religious groups. I mean, apparently Nixon just the only people he hated more than Jews were black people.
Yeah.
And as a consequence of that, you know, he talked freely about it, and they don't ever want that to happen again. The hate mongers.
Yeah, I've talked to you before about my Senator Evan Bayh.
Yeah,
I saw his daddy Birch on C-SPAN the other day too.
I saw that,
and he quoted that same thing from Germany, where the guy said, you know, they came for these people, and I didn't object. And he was having a hard time getting through that speech. Because I think he sees where we're at right now.
Well, I wish his boy did.
Yeah.
This is a time for people to stand up. Over at Daily Coast, they had a list of 25 senators and a censure resolution, whereas the president has blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, you know, Dianne Feinstein was on board for it, and Joe Lieberman was on board for it, and all, you know, 25 senators or so. It was the censure resolution against Bill Clinton.
Yeah.
And we can't, you know, we can't get people to stand shoulder to shoulder with Russ Feingold and at least say that what George Bush has done in lying the nation into a war and in starting and in spying on the American people and spying on peace groups, we can't get Democratic senators to stand shoulder to shoulder and say that that's wrong. We're not talking about doing anything to George. We're not talking about removing him from office. We're talking about saying. We're talking about calling something wrong when it's wrong. We're talking about the kind of stuff that goes on in first grade. You know, don't do that. It's a bad thing. And we can't even engage in first grade morals with George W. Bush.
Yeah, and in talking with people too, trying to get them to pay attention to something else other than the fact that there's topless pictures of Jennifer Aniston, on the internet. I have a granddaughter who's like 4 years old, and she went through this thing where everything was why. You know, why this, why that.
Yeah.
I just try to get people, when I see the events that go on in the world, when I talk to my neighbors and stuff, I just try to get them to ask why. You know, why after 9/11 did all these Saudi Arabians get, wafted out of the state so fast, quickly? Why did that happen? You know, why does Representative Sensenbrenner, when there's hearings on atrocities at Guantanamo Bay, why does he have the right to cut off people's testimony right in the middle of it?
Yeah, turn off the lights, turn off the mics, turn off the cameras, and go home.
Why does he have the right to do that? Because he's got a gavel in his hand?
Right, well, because these
people... Why do these things... if people just started asking why, and try to, why is there a logic to, rather than just swallowing everything, whole hog,
Well, why is one of the toughest questions in the English language, I think, Gerard, and it's a lot tougher than most people want to ask.
Yeah.
But you're right, and if you can, if 1 in 10 of the people that you talk to will say, "Yeah, why?" If they will make that inquiry, then you've done your part. You've begun the changing of America. You've initiated the conversation that we talk about so much on this program. So I hope to God that you will continue to do so.
Oh, you can count on it.
All right, Gerard. Thanks so much. So good to hear from you.
Nice talking to you, Bob.
Take care. Bye now. All right, let's keep it rolling. CB is with us. Hey, CB, you're head on. Good to hear from you.
Oh, hello.
How are you?
I'm still upright.
Hey, every day above the ground,
Exactly. I may end up in a bubble, but heck, that's then and this is now.
Hey, we've got a president in one. It can't be that bad.
Yeah, really. So I really don't have very much to say. I did some catch up listening to the last couple days' shows, and now I'm listening to you live. And I don't know whether it's because I'm sick or what, or just information overload. But I'm sort of listening almost like, I'm reading a novel.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
And I'm going to myself, this is all going on because we let it go on, and we keep letting it go on. There was, all over the internet today was the snippet from Boston Legal.
Yeah.
And he just encapsulated it beautifully, that the American people just keep letting crime after crime after crime go by without holding anybody accountable.
Right.
So now, when, we're freaking out about, we're going to get nuked and we're going to this and there's going to be a terrorist attack and all these other things that we're worried about. Yeah.
Oh, I know. Sometimes.
And we richly deserve it, don't we?
Yeah. And it's not, if you're going to apply that whole do unto others as you would have them do unto you standard.
Yeah.
Or don't do to anybody else what you wouldn't want done to you.
The best thing about Christianity, the golden rule.
Yeah.
And we certainly have not been following it.
And, that under that standard, yeah, we got it coming. I don't know. I guess that's what Pat Robertson and Jerry Falwell were talking about when they said that the gay people and the lesbians and the people for the American way caused 9/11. Maybe, I can't make it work like that. But you know, well, but I know what you're talking about, CB. Sometimes sitting in this chair behind this microphone, I have a little out of body experiences, and I can't believe we've got these home movies of me, and I was a cute little guy, just running around having fun, little toe-headed fella, blonde hair and blue eyes, and I look at that home movie and I could weep, CB. Because that little dude had no idea what was coming straight at him. Now, I was too young to get sucked into Vietnam. No, I'm in the middle of a war right now that has no guns, it has no bullets, and I'm fighting on the side of people who, in many instances, don't want to be in it.
Yes.
And you do. You see a whole movie like that, and you have an out-of-body experience, and you go, holy hell, how did this happen? And, you know, Mitt Romney, can you believe we live in an America, CB? We live in an America where in Massachusetts the governor is introducing a religious bigotry law that sounds like something off the books of the Mayflower Company?
Now I can believe it. Simply because nobody will stand with Russ Feingold. Simply because we could hear the news that the president's spying on us, and we didn't get out our pitchforks and torches. It's gotten ridiculous.
You know, there's another
on the pale.
Yeah, there's another story underneath. Did you see the story about the lecture that Justice O'Connor delivered? I think it was at Georgetown University.
Oh yeah,
or something.
Thanks a lot, Sandra Day O'Connor.
Yeah, that she's getting death threats.
Yeah.
So now Ruth Bader Ginsburg has chimed in and said, "Oh yeah, I got the death threats too." You know, I want to know these things. You know, where's the quote? It was some right wing group that said, "If this woman lives another day, you're no patriot." You know, calling on people to kill her. And then last night, like I mentioned a couple of times, it's worth driving this nail a little bit. You got Tony Perkins calling for the assassination of Russ Feingold on the air.
Well, I was calling for the assassination of Congress on the air the other night. I was calling them all treason.
Well, yeah, but I think there's a difference. But you, I mean, you understand.
Right, right.
You don't want to kill anybody. He does.
Right.
He's on the same side as the people who are calling for the death of Ruth Bader Ginsburg. And then my buddy from comearmageddon.blogspot.com sends me along something from Raw Story about Mike Malloy. Mike says that he's received death threat emails against his little 19-month-old baby girl. You know, we're not running around threatening to kill people. I don't want to kill anybody. You know, if the people want to wear their sacred underwear, go wear your sacred underwear. I don't care.
Well, you know, the trend lately seems to be to go find yourself a state where you can change all the state laws to suit your own moral code. So maybe we should just subscribe to that. You know, you and Agnes and Wayne and Rick and all the guys and gals who call in. We all of you come move here to California. And maybe California might be a little big to handle it, so we could go about splitting off Northern California from Southern California.
I thought you guys already did that.
Well, we've been you want to know something outrageous?
Okay.
For my entire life, and it's been a long one. Every time the ballot initiatives came up, you know, to be voted on, there was something about piping water down to L.A.
Yeah.
You know, and we voted it down every single time. No way is L.A. getting our water, because they're going to suck us dry for their swimming pool. You know, and they went and built an aqueduct. And it's been in place for years and just didn't say anything about it. You never found out about it until you happened to drive by it and realize, you know, what the heck it was. That's after we voted it down like 20 times in a row, they just built it anyway.
Oh, my God. Well, yeah, I mean, yeah, it's the Dubai ports. You know, I got my little map of the United States here, and I'm looking at Baltimore, and I'm looking at Newark, and I'm looking at New York, and I'm looking at Miami, and I'm thinking about where, you know, all these right-wing, the conservative, Republican, God bless America types that still, we're going to stop that Dubai ports deal. It ain't a going through. And George Bush is sitting in the White House going, shut up, it already did.
Well, that's what I was mentioning that to you the other day was, right in the beginning of the hearings, somebody told all the senators, well, the deal's going through on Thursday. I think the hearing was on Tuesday or something.
Yeah.
And you can't stop it. This isn't going to stop it, this 45-day review thing they were talking about. That's not going to stop
it. Yeah, it was all a sham. Then,
it was
a three-card Monte game.
Yes.
I've been in three-card Monte games that were more that were less rigged than this.
Well, we are conducting our entire country and have been for some time contrary to the American way. It's not, what's going on there is not how it's done. It's how it's being done, but that's not how you do it if you're the United States.
Right. I mean, this Congressman Jerry Lewis from Southern California, he's a Republican. And, you know, he was going to stop the Dubai ports deal. Wonder how he feels about his boy George now. Because they treated him, this is the part where Ashton Kutcher walks out from around the corner and goes, Congressman Jerry, you've been punked. Because they have been. All these people, and we understood that the Republican response to it was, you know, somewhat racist in its nature. It wasn't that way on our side, but it was on theirs. And, you know, look up. Hey, guess what? They did it anyway. They didn't care what you thought. They never care what. They don't.
Yeah. And you know, that's what I've been trying to say. They don't care. It's going to happen anyway. We're all flapping and mad as heck at these collaborationist Democrats and stuff. And it's just going on without us. and with me, every time I get into it with one of my, you know, redneck friends and try and make them see the error of their ways, well, they kind of do see the error of their ways. They shrug their shoulders and say, okay, CB, you go out and save the world. I got better things to do. That is like, that's the culmination point. You get somebody's mental thing right up there against what's actual, and then they go, okay, I got more important stuff on my list.
Yeah, I can't wait to see the more important stuff. That's the thing. The more important stuff for a lot of these very strange agents from a very foreign land, the more important stuff is a book about, is complaining about Madonna talking about Hillary.
Yeah, or getting a new couch, or, you know, whatever, you know.
Well, where is it here? From this press release about the $3.6 million fine for indecency levied against CBS for a supposed teenage sex orgy on a program called Without a Trace, CB?
Yeah.
I've never seen it.
Good show.
Well,
I don't even like TV, and it started out being a good show. I don't think it is anymore.
Well, see, I'm on the air then, and you know, I don't have a TiVo, so you know, too bad.
Yeah.
But there's this quote down there: large majorities of adult Americans are offended by the glut of sex and vulgarity on TV. And for me, as a liberal thinking person, CB, the first thing that pops into my tiny little pea-sized mind is, why are they watching it if they're so offended?
Right.
And if they're not watching it, how do they know it was dirty?
Right. Right.
But this is what matters to them. This is the, because this is, and it's not necessarily what matters to the whoever them are, CB. It's what matters to the people who are manipulating them.
It's, those are the things that they can wrap their minds around. Those are the things that they can have an opinion about that, that can make them feel like clean people. When juxtaposed against these, you know, filthy sex fiends, and
well, I mean, but honest to God, you've apparently seen this program once or twice, CB. Can you imagine that? I mean, CBS showing a teenage sex orgy?
No, I'm sure they didn't show a teenage sex orgy. And
I mean, that would have had to like involve, you know, Janet Jackson stuff.
Right.
You know, naked things.
Of course, all the networks are complaining that the cable stations get to show this stuff, and so in order to compete, they have to get racier, you know. And I don't want to sound like a fundamentalist or anything, but I can't stand all the sex and violence and debauchery on the media either. You know, I think every time I see it, I just throw my hands up in the air and go, you know, and they wonder why Osama bin Laden doesn't like us.
Well, sure.
There it is. But, broadcast.
Last night I'm flipping around after the show. You want to talk about nasty. I saw Tucker Carlson featuring the Moscow Cat Circus.
Oh, boy.
And, there was no nudity or anything, but it was just pathetic. It was just pitiful. You know, God only knows what they do to these poor cats. You know, and that's real. You know, that's not imaginary violence. That's not imaginary sex. These are cats working for this little short dude in clown makeup.
I don't even want to think about what that involves.
No, I don't either.
And Tucker Carlson was showing it.
Oh, he had a big old fluffy calico cat draped around his neck. And Agnes was sitting there going, fart, cat, fart. Yeah.
I saw on TV, on my version of TV on the C-SPAN archives, I saw the Undersecretary of State for Political Affairs testifying about what Condi Rice has ordered everybody to do in respect to Iran. And I couldn't keep listening to him speak because I was looking at the guy, and he is one of the extraterrestrials from Close Encounters with a human mask on. I kept looking
they
at him
all
and going,
are.
So really the other explanation for all this, which may make more sense than anything we've come up with so far, is we have been invaded by space aliens. And they're impersonating government officials.
Pod people. Well, I got another one for you. You want another pod person? Here's a person who calls themselves himself or herself a Democrat.
Uh-oh.
Running against Sherrod Brown for the Ohio nomination to run against Mike DeWine in the Senate race this fall. This person, Merrill Kaiser, believes that homosexuality should be punishable by death and has called for Elton John and Mary Cheney to be killed.
Oh, my God.
I mean, and the thing is, people, well, you know, those are extremists. No. You know, the Republicans, and the fundamentalists, those are extremists. No, they're not. They're your people. Somebody tried to suggest that because Sean Hannity had said it on his show. You remember Fred Phelps, the Reverend Fred Phelps, you know, Dr. Hate from Westboro Baptist Church in Topeka, Kansas, the guy that protests all the soldiers' funerals and stuff, saying, you know, God hates fags, all of that.
Uh-huh.
Somebody tried to tell me, because Sean Hannity told them, that he's a liberal. And,
oh, yeah, that's a liberal.
You know, and no, the guy is an ordained Baptist minister, and the Baptist Church has never called back their ordination of this creepy old dude. But it's the same thing across the board. People, you know, George Bush's approval ratings are in the tank, and what are the conservatives doing, CB? They're saying, well, you know, we understand that he's not really the conservative we thought he was. Our ideas are just fine. It's the problem with the guy. We're going to have you a real conservative in 2008.
Well,
and the sad thing is, they'll be there in the churches and they'll beat the drums for whoever that is, and it's probably going to be John McCain.
Well, John McCain, who was out doing the talk show circuit in 2004 talking about what an idiot and what a jerk W was. I mean, he was bad-mouthing him so much I couldn't even believe my ears. But then the question would come up every time. It was like on three different shows. Well, so who are you going to vote for? And he said, Bush.
Every
and
time.
That says it all to me.
Well, yeah, well, I mean, the fact that this guy was even willing to be seen in the same room with George Bush after what George Bush did to him, you know, in the South Carolina 2000 primaries just amazes me. It just amazes me. Oh, and I just got some news. I missed this, CB. Tom Harkin of Iowa has signed on with Russ Feingold.
Excellent.
Co-sponsoring the resolution.
Excellent.
That's okay. That's two down, 43 to go.
Why do they need to be dragged kicking and screaming to this? I don't get it.
Like I said, this is first grade morality, CB. This is, you're doing a bad thing. Stop doing the bad thing.
We also, on the internet today, got to see a Democratic political consultant. I guess he was on
the guy from Daily Show last night? Yeah.
Yeah. There's a guy who's probably related to the Undersecretary of State for Political Affairs.
Every bit of it. You know, the consultants are making a fortune losing.
Why are they paying them all this money? I could give them so much better advice than that.
Mary Beth Cahill sent John Kerry windsurfing after his convention while he was getting swiftboated. I mean, there are so-called Democratic strategists who are rich, CB. I mean, lighting cigars with $100 bills rich.
Yeah. It's,
and they are rich from losing.
Yeah, because it isn't what you know, it's who you know. And, you know, the losing part is a big so what, you know.
You know, when
gets a cut of the pie.
Yeah, and I don't know my wrestling, but, you know, when Hulk Hogan goes in the ring against Randy Macho Man Savage for the super heavyweight chain steel cage glove miner's glove lantern death match chainsaw thing of the century.
Well, go on, sorry.
Hulk Hogan gets $5 million for doing that.
Right.
Randy Savage gets 4.9. Randy Macho, whoever wins gets a little bit more than whoever loses. That's your Democratic consultant.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's your Democratic consultant.
So you know, it just always keeps turning back to, if we want it fixed, we got to do it ourselves.
Damn right.
And everybody's going, yeah, but there's no mechanism, you know, there, because the vote is gone, unless we can get paper ballots again across the board.
But see, that sham is beginning to wear out a little bit, CB, because we're catching them. You know, when they get to the point that they're trying to run off elected officials in Leon County, Florida, like this American hero Ian Sancho.
Yes.
When they're trying to throw this dude out of office and he's already been elected, and they're trying to have the closed door meeting where they can show him the horse's head, then you know that they're on the run. When Clint Curtis, who's running against the guy who originally told Clint Curtis to build the vote rigging software for the Diebold machine,
right.
When he's out there slurring Clint Curtis. Without addressing the issues, they're on the run. You know, Clint Curtis just came out and said, "Hey, look, you know, I told my story, and I took a lie detector test about it. How about you, Mr. Feely?"
Well, right. But
you know, when
Dubai
Bill
Ports deal, same thing.
Well, yeah,
we thought we had them on the run too. Well,
no, we never thought that. We're the smart people, CB.
Right. I'm saying there were a lot of people on the internet saying, "Okay, you know." Even the Republicans that are behind this. This is going to get stopped. And I'm going, no, it's going to get accommodated.
Yeah, you silly, silly person.
I know. I'm not kidding. Either the people stand up and, you know, out in the streets, or nothing is going to go our way.
And the other thing, CB, is we got to start running our own candidates.
Yeah.
You know, the thing I keep beating on, I got nowhere to put my primary vote against Robert Byrd in the Democratic primary in West Virginia, except just to leave him blank. And blank can't go to Washington.
Right.
And, you know, the alternative, this creep John Racey, well, it's West Virginia politics. The guy's crazier than a sprayed roach, okay? But that's, so whose fault is that? You know, there are brilliant people in the environmental movement in West Virginia. There are brilliant people in this liberal progressive movement and that liberal progressive movement, and they won't run for office. We must begin compelling them. We've got to be able to make a case to our own side that nothing's going to change until you start putting the FDR Democrats back in office. You know, I'm all for Ned Lamont, who's running against Joe Lieberman in Connecticut. I hope he beats him. But, you know, my eyes are wide open. This guy's a telecommunications millionaire. That ain't no liberal.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, we've got it. We've got to reinvent. We've got to redesign the paradigm. We've got to catapult the propaganda or whatever the hell it is.
Well, yeah, and a whole lot of us don't have presidents for daddies who can lock up all our
Well, isn't that the
past.
Truth? But every one of us, for the most part, could run for library board. We could run for county executive committee. We could run for county committee. So what if we lose? The Republicans have lost. They lost for 40 freaking years, and they never quit. And like Wayne says, they don't have off years.
Well, blame it on my infection or something, but, you know.
Well, no, I'm not holding you personally to account. I know.
No, but I'm just going to say another pessimistic thing. It's just like heading up the library and going slowly is not going to cut it. There isn't going to be anything left to fix if we go that slowly. It's like the Republicans, all they had at stake over those years was some money. It only cost them some money. It cost us lives.
That's true.
And that's the bottom line. So, you know.
But the thing is, if.
Okay, we get a mob of people to go sign up to take over all the Senate seats. You know.
Well, no,
it's to be a mob.
One, it's not, you know, it's going to be hard to make it happen overnight, but it's going to be easier to, it's like radio. You know, there's a little guy sitting behind or girl sitting behind a microphone somewhere at some podunk station, and 20 years from now, they're going to be Howard Stern.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
You've got to develop this stuff. You got to invest the time and the energy and the skull sweat to develop the talent.
Oh, well, I'm absolutely with you on that, and I don't propose that we don't do that. What I'm proposing is that we also do something that works right away.
Well, then we work on the 08 Senate and House of Representatives cycle, because unfortunately we're stuck with what we get in 06 right now.
Right, because it's all closed.
Yeah, exactly. CB, I'm so glad to know you're okay, glad to know you're back home. I'm going to roll along and get one more call in here.
Excellent.
All right, take care.
Good night.
Bye now.
Bye.
And our buddy Ed. Hey, Ed, you're head on.
Hey, Bob, how's it going?
Going good. You?
You got some good callers coming in. I enjoyed the program tonight.
Well, thank you very much.
But I want to tell you that I'm ashamed of our representative for not standing by the representative that wanted to censure Bush, and tomorrow I'm going to let it be known. I'm going to call every one of them, and plus I'm going to call my son-in-law and make sure that Joe Lieberman gets some calls up there, and I'll personally call him too. Not that it'll make a lot of difference since I'm down here and he's up there, but I am going to do that.
Well, I think that's laudable. I think you should do it. I think a lot of us should do it.
Yeah.
You know, we showed what can happen when we set out to do things back a couple of months ago with the Alito thing. The idea of filibustering was just a joke. But there were by the time that progressive talk radio was done, we had lit up a whole bunch of Democratic senators, and we made a difference.
Uh-huh.
We didn't get our filibuster, but we went from one or two senators to more than a dozen.
Mm-hmm.
We found out where we separated some wheat from some chaff in that, and we can do it again.
Well, they're not used to getting very many calls, and if those phones get just at least a little bit busy. And I had them, when I called Bird and said all I could say on the telephone, the person told me that they were getting plenty of calls on him doing that.
Good.
The way he voted. So if we call and let them know how we feel about, you know, when he voted for the judge, if we call and let them know, I was promised a letter. And usually, every time I call his office, I get a letter back. But this time, I didn't. I guess it was because I wasn't too diplomatic about the way I told him about.
Well, it was interesting. I did get a letter, but after what I said about the Alito nomination, Ed, I got a letter back. But I got a form letter back because it turned out that another one of our listeners shared his letter with me, and it was the same blessed letter. We got them on the same day.
Hmm. Well, I didn't hear nothing, but I, you know, I don't really care how nasty I am. When they do what they do to us, that's about as nasty as you can get by not representing your people's ideas and saying the things he did. But I want to ask you something.
Sure.
Are we after getting, is these wars over there about getting control of that whole Arab country and getting in charge of the oil?
It's about recolonization. It's about resource control. For a certain segment of the people who want it, that's what it's about. Now, there's another segment of people that are pushing along and supporting them because they think it's going to bring on the rapture.
Toast.
You know, no kidding.
Maybe they're going to fix it where we can slide in on oil.
we're going to rise up to heaven on a grease track, a 10W40.
Yeah. Well, in my mind anyway, and that always don't work real good, but it just seems like we are going to. It's Syria. It's Iraq and Iran. All of its oil, you know, like I said, it's oil base.
Yeah, sure. You'll notice that North Korea is on the axis of evil, but they've A, got a nuclear weapon, and B, no oil.
Uh-huh.
You'll notice we're not talking about invading Iraq or invading North Korea.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I just wanted to get an opinion, see if just how far off base I was.
No, you're right on base. You're right on base, Ed. Awful good to talk to you tonight. We're running out of time. I hope we'll hear from you again, though.
You sure will, and I'll talk to you later.
All right, you take care, Ed.
Good night.
Bye now. Thanks, everybody, for making this the most wonderful job on planet Earth. Agnes says thank you, too. Her job is slightly less wonderful than mine. But she did a wonderful job tonight producing the program, as she always does. Brian Reznor announces, our engineer's Randy Kerbway. Our good friend, Ben Birch, maintains the stream of this program as well as the archives of this and many other wonderful liberal talk programs. Still has his fundraising drive going. He's close to the goal. He isn't there yet. Help him out however you may do so. Our good friend, Joe Vecchio of cupofjoe.blogspot.com, also has a fundraiser going on. He needs your support. Among other things, because Joe's is one of the best, most thought-provoking blogs out there. Make his hit counter spin. Make his bank account grow. Because we're liberals. We don't have multi-million-dollar right-wing think tanks backing us up with ads for Swedish mattresses and patent baldness remedies and herbal limpness remedies. We ain't got it. We just don't have it.
We help each other out.
And, of course, this show comes your way every night by virtue of the good offices of the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights, building the American dream and rebuilding the American dream with their support of this program and the other programs on the Head On Radio Network. And always, 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 RMR.